There is no better place.
It's time to talk.
The only way to get anything done in Cork is to go on to the internet. You
know? Fair play.
Talk to Neil Prendeville.
That's a Cork threat at this stage, I think.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I just love Cork people.
Conversation that matters.
And get involved in the conversations that matter. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Paperwise this morning, and many of the newspapers, particularly the Red Tops and their front pages today, talk about the sad passing of Saoirse Ruan, who at the age of 12 passed away after her long battle with cancer. Now, the name, or indeed her beautiful photographs that make the papers today, may remind you of the fact that she was on the Late Late Toy Show back in 2020, and there are many tributes in the papers this morning to Saoirse and indeed her family by many different people, including the governor from the toy show at the time, Ryan Tuberty. The headline in the Star this morning says, "Brave toy show girl dies at 12. Saoirse was the best of who we are." And many tributes to what they're describing rightly as the shattered family at the passing of her beautiful daughter. Such a front page of making a lot of the papers today. Awfully, awfully sad. You know something? I just don't get it with regards to the cost of everything. You know, I'm seeing it again now with fuel prices. I'm blue in the face from reading out stories about, oh, you know, utility costs are coming down, electricity bills are coming down, gas bills are coming down. But do you ever actually see it on a bill? I mean, I know that there's been the payments that from time to time with regards to state intervention of 150 there, 175 there, but you never really see. If you look at a bill, they're always a shock, really, aren't they? And I know it's very much climate. Why am I saying this? Irish electricity bills are €700 higher than the EU average. And much of those EU countries, in fairness, have the same kind of weather as us. I mean, there are the exceptions, your Spain and your Portugal and your Italy. But you go way over to Eastern Europe, they have much worse winters than us. But we now maintain our position as having the most expensive electricity in Europe. And yet, no one seems to want to do anything about it or put manners on or pass laws to protect us against the fact that we are constantly being scalped. And then the ESB makes record profits of over 900 million, but not on the back of our sky-high bills. Other things they say are the reasons behind it. Come on! I mean, like, if we weren't paying sky-high bills for things, the dearest in Europe, then the providers wouldn't be making sky-high profits. It's simple to me. But anyway, off on a rant this morning. I just don't know. I don't know. We tolerate so much. And then other things that we should be getting. You book a car. Book an NCT now today. Right? Book an NCT today. I guarantee you won't get an appointment until September. Because Kevin booked his car the other day, September. I booked a car 3 weeks ago, at earliest, August. So what do you got to do? You got to go on and get on a cancellation list and a standby list and all sorts of stuff like that. You're paying for the service. Anyway. Stop. Breathe deeply. It's an amazing update with regards to assisted dying in Ireland over the past 24 hours. Now, you know that there has been what they call a cross-party Oireachtas committee on assisted dying. And they've been studying it and talking about it and taking the temperature on it for quite some time. But we're at a breakthrough moment now. And this happened yesterday afternoon. It makes the papers this morning. The Right to Die campaigners are hailing it as a historic breakthrough. Politicians are now backing legislation for assisted dying. So it's a case that if this were voted in the Dáil and the Senedd, it would be signed off by the President and it would happen. And the large majority are saying that Ireland should now allow euthanasia, should now allow assisted suicide for those with terminal and neurological conditions who have months to live. Now, there is still a certain amount of vagueness about it. If you read into it, the committee has recommended that people, and I'm reading from the Mail this morning, it's a front page story making the Mail, that people with a terminal prognosis with less than 6 months to live should be able to avail of an assisted death. So those with neurodegenerative conditions, that would be the likes of, say, an example of that would be the awful condition of motor neurons disease. They'll be able to avail of an assisted death, right? If they have up to 12 months to live, and a doctor must say that the person is more than likely, and this is where it kind of gets a little bit vague, more than likely could be 51% or more to die in that time frame of over less than 12 months. And just one final thing on this for now. Some of the members were concerned that this could be a little vague, but it was passed nonetheless. You know, the more than likely, 51%. And I know it's an awfully sad topic of conversation, and many people have been campaigning on it for quite some time. But the final piece on this from the Mail this morning, it says, a doctor would take the action to end life when a person wanting to die is incapable of physically administering the necessary medical substance themselves to end their lives. Mind you, there is also going to be a clause in the law and the Act and the Bill that would allow any doctor or nurse or medical worker who didn't want to be involved to be able to opt out from something like that. I guess that could be something along the lines of the Hippocratic Oath. Your thoughts are welcome on that. Text 0868104106. Email Neil at redfm.ie. As the story makes the Irish Times online, it's also making the papers today, and also the Examiner. I'll talk to Barry Roach on this topic a little later on. It's two men, the changing face of Ireland, lads. These are two men. These are allegations, of course, that have to be proven in court, but there are two men have appeared in court in East Cork, charged in connection with an alleged international human trafficking operation targeting vulnerable people with the promise of work and accommodation. Now, that's just the first paragraph. One is a fellow called Ladislav Bubinchik from Charleville. The other is a Marion Vavrick from County Roscommon. They were in Middleton District Court yesterday, charged with three counts of human trafficking involving three male victims in 2021, said to be very vulnerable individuals who were supposedly brought over here to work, were working. There's allegations that they were getting only tiny amounts of their wages, like a fiver or a tenner a week kind of thing. So more on that in a few minutes' time. And you talk about vulnerability. The front of the Echo this morning talks about the amount of sad cases of people who died in homeless shelters or in indeed on our streets or in emergency accommodation over the past 12 months. They look at the figure for 2023, 19 people died in homeless shelters. And of course, you can't but connect that to their living conditions, their health conditions, possible addiction issues with regards to alcohol or drugs, right up to and including heroin. So it's a front pager, an inside pager making the Echo today. The issue of vulnerability also has another string to its bow, and that is people coming here fleeing war from Ukraine, as the war in Ukraine continues. But from this day, everything changes. This is the last day of the old payments of €220 a week for anybody coming in from the Russian invasion, because from Monday it will be €38.80 a week. So that's when those changes happen. They will happen next week. Could you imagine if you were getting hundreds and hundreds of tormenting, sick, poisonous letters to your home about you and your partner? Well, that is the life that Susan and David have to put up with. They are the power couple, the Powers from County Galway. And this morning, it's a story on the front of the Sun. It says, stalker on our doorstep, the family's four-year hell, getting constantly bombarded with sick, poison letters. The impression I get from this is not just the letters, but also that they are being watched. And there are some examples of the taunts making the papers this morning. This is obviously a big Garda investigation as to who is sending them, who is watching them, who knows every single thing about their lives, making very personalized comments about them. It must be very, very disturbing for them. And it's a campaign of harassment, apparently, that's been going on for 4 years now. And nobody's any closer to finding out who the individual is, male or female, who knows, or what kind of kicks they get out of it, or what's the vendetta about. Papers this morning talk very much about you are who you eat, what you eat, and indeed, not just you, but those that went before you, your mammies and your daddies, in the sense that the Sun is saying this morning, and they use the word fat, even though some people get touchy-feely about the word fat, the children who are of fat parents are six times more likely of being overweight and obese themselves. So the risk of obesity is six times higher. By the time you get to middle age, it's six times higher. If your mam and dad were also obese or fairly overweight, by the time they got to their middle age. So it's kind of interesting, because the study is saying, well, you can blame your parents for your middle age spread. It's not your fault. But that isn't all that healthy, really, because you can correct all of these things, can't you? Even if they they say that obesity is passed down. I wonder about other things that you certainly can say that unfortunately some conditions are hereditary, like say for instance heart issues can be hereditary. It can be passed on, you know, from father to son or daughter, or mother to son or daughter. And then there are other things, you know, you often hear of people, you wonder, like if your father was bald at a young age, does it mean that you'll be bald at a young age as well? Or if a mother or a father had bad eyesight, is there a chance that your eyesight would be shot to bits and stuff like that? But papers talk of it today in quite some detail with regards to what's hereditary and what's not. And the papers also this morning, actually, I held this from yesterday. Remember I was telling you about what makes men, say for instance, much more attractive to women, and I went into some of those examples last week. Well, there's an interesting one made the Mail yesterday, and it says that for tucking into a full Irish breakfast makes men much more attractive to the opposite sex. It's not only these quirky surveys they come up with. And while some women may shun a full fry-up in favour of maybe pastry or carb-rich croissants and muffins, men find them less attractive. Like, so men find women who eat a full Irish more attractive, and women find men who eat a full Irish more attractive than, say, a man who has a macchiata or a skinny latte and a croissant for breakfast. I suppose they also would prefer him to be eating a full fry-up in some kind of a uniform, like full fry-up in a Garda uniform, full fry-up in a fire brigade uniform, full fry-up in the overalls and the dungarees that maybe, say, for instance, plumbers and electricians wear. But anyway, off on one. But the way we interact with people is interesting, because while I didn't get to this yesterday, you know, I was talking to Conor Pope there on the air about 10 days ago about the Complaints Bureau. It's a new 8-part RTE series. One of the things that they're dealing with on that show is how to complain. And they're saying that shouting down the phone gets you nowhere. And in fact, if you are trying to get onto customer service and you're even lucky to speak to a human being, because that's becoming very rare these days, shouting at them doesn't make things any better. In fact, it makes things worse. And you always have to work on the premise that the person that you're shouting at, if you were to think that could be your son or your daughter being shouted at work, or it could be your partner being shouted at work. But they talk about the do's and don'ts of complaining. So it's better to be polite, stay calm, arm yourself with the facts, know your stuff, know your rights, and the things that you shouldn't do, don't raise your voice, don't shout, don't harass, don't pretend you know what you're talking about when you clearly don't, don't make things up, don't bend the facts, don't complain to chatbots, because that's a computerized system and they won't understand the complaint. In fact, they're the most annoying things on the planet. Chatbots. They really and truly are. The option A, B, C, and D. Did we help you? Thank you for your call. Anyway, if you fire off an angry email, you're not doing yourself any favors. Being polite always gets you, doesn't get you a solution, but they're saying that it's a better chance of getting things sorted. I pass that on for what it's worth. And there's a cracking story by Larissa Nolan making the Mirror today, and it's the history behind Where's Me Jumper? By the Sultans of Ping, because the Sultans are playing Vicar Street in Dublin tomorrow for one night only, and the gig is sold out, which is pretty good for a Cork band 30 years on. But one of the mysteries that she unsolves, or sorry, that she actually unsolves, that she solves in this morning's paper is, where did the song come from? Where's Me Jumper? The Cork anthem. And apparently, she chats with many band members, but particularly Niall O'Flaherty, and he says, we were in a place called Spiders. I see fond smiles of people remembering Kenny Lee's Spiders. We were in a place called Spiders, and great bands played there, but they also had a cracking disco. And Niall says, I used to go to Spiders the odd Saturday night, and literally, without fail, after a night on the tiles, I came out without my favourite jumper. And I actually once said, where's me jumper? We'd been dancing at the disco. That's where the line came from. Interestingly, she asks, has the song been, you know, kind to them with regards to royalties down through the years? And O'Flaherty said, as in the glam rockers who used to say, it's been very good to us financially down through the years. It's been very good to us. The glam rockers all say that. They particularly said that. Wizard and Slade and people said that about the Christmas hits. Chris Rea says it all the time about driving home for Christmas. The moolah just rolls in every Christmas time. And then it is the 200th anniversary, boys and girls, of Cadbury's chocolate. Shout at the radio as to your favourite Cadbury's chocolate bar. If you said the good old-fashioned dairy milk, you'd be right. It's the most popular. However, there are two others that are chomping at the heels of the dairy milk. One is the Twirl, one of the most chocolate bars, the popular chocolate bars that Cadbury's ever came up with. And bizarrely, the Dairy Milk Oreo is rocking up the charts and has been for quite some time. But I suppose if you were to look at consistency over all of the years, it would clearly be the Dairy Milk. But there's a lovely kind of double page spread of the 200 years of Cadbury's and how good they were to their workers. They actually built an entire village for their staff a long, long time ago in a place called Bourneville. You get it. Named a chocolate bar after it.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Yes, indeed. Someone who didn't get to yesterday was another really bad attack inside in the city. I got two or three texts on this and a couple of calls from people who witnessed it. Here's a typical example. Hi, Neil. I'm working in town. I witnessed a woman being jumped by three people this morning by the GPO at 9:10 in the morning. There are no Gardaí around. She was just taken away there by an ambulance at about 9:50. This is yesterday morning. This type of thing is happening daily and no Garda presence. This is a woman who was jumped by three people. Another texter said it was double that, like something like five or six people jumped this woman on her own and was badly attacked. And then yesterday afternoon, I came across a post that was shared with me from the sister of the girl who was attacked in Cork yesterday. She is from Dublin and she was down in Cork. And her sister said, I dropped into my parents for a cup of tea and a chat. My phone rings. It's my sister who's in Cork for work. And a strange woman is frantically saying on her sister's phone, do you know such and such a girl? Are you related to such and such a girl? And I said, yes. Why? Where is she? She's my sister. The woman who was using her sister's phone says she's been attacked. She's on the ground here. I have her. I said, is she alive? She said, yes, but she can't get up. I think her ankle's broken after the punch that she got. I'm just waiting to try to get into the hospital to see her. They're saying she needs surgery. We're absolutely heartbroken for our beautiful, kind, caring sister. Lads, please say a prayer. The police say there's not much CCTV to go on. It happened on Oliver Plunkett Street. Although I reckon if I go down there and start punching random men in the head, then the guards would find me quite fairly quickly. Our country is broken, lads. Our hearts are broken. How any man thinks he can do this to a woman is beyond me. Say a prayer for my beautiful sister who is in so much pain. So that was posted online then by her sister yesterday afternoon following the attack on her sister in Cork. And she is right to say Oliver Plunkett Street just by the GPO. Don't know, was it all men, a mixture of men and women, or indeed the reason or the motivation behind it? But there is no motivation that actually could stand over attacking anybody. I was in town on Wednesday and I have to say it can be pretty grim in there with some of the characters that are knocking around. But that girl now, who came down to Cork, is now in hospital, certainly with fairly painful injuries, I can tell you, innocently going about her business inside in Cork City yesterday morning, round about this time, just after 9 o'clock. It goes from bad to worse, lads. Text 0868 104 106. And meanwhile, we have a change in country, for sure we do. And of course we have a lot of movement into the country, and some of it out, sadly, many of ours going to Australia, others wishing to come here for a better life. And that's why I mentioned Barry Rhodes' story, it's also covered by Anne Murphy in The Examiner this morning, of human trafficking. These are allegations against two men alleged to be engaged in human trafficking. And there is a Cork connection with one of the individuals who's charged. Like, one of the guards involved in this case said that a number of foreign nationals, mainly Slovakians, but also Czech, moved into the North Cork area between 2021 and 2024. And some of them, some of these individuals were involved in various levels of criminality, including human trafficking for labour exploitation. And an example has been given by the Gardaí, again, an allegation. If you took one of the individuals, vulnerable people from Eastern Europe who came over here, they were being, and this was to work, so they were being promised €100 a week, allegedly, but one of the individuals is only getting a fiver or a tenner a week. And the rest of it was going into the alleged trafficker's bank account. Yeah, it's a changing country, all right, for sure it is. Barry Rhodes, Southern correspondent of the Irish Times, joins me because he's got the background to the story and where we are so far with regards to charge and evidence. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm just giving a couple of examples of a lot more that probably will be unveiled in court with regards to human trafficking and clearly then allegations of money laundering. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I suppose it's important to stress at this stage that there's a presumption of innocence in the case of both of these people, a guy called Ladislav Bubinchek and Marian Vavrik. Mr. Bubinchek is 32 and he's living in Railway Road in Charleville, and Mr. Vara Vavrik is 46 and his address at the moment is Kankiki, Ruski, County Roscommon. So these are charges, and what we heard yesterday were the Gardaí alleged was the supporting evidence for their decision to charge them. So there are only allegations at this stage, but certainly we heard a lot yesterday. Both men, they're charged that on dates in 2021, they each trafficked three named into parties for the purpose of exploiting the named persons, and that they coerced, threatened, and or deceived them, those named persons, contrary to Section 4 of the Criminal Justice, the Criminal Law.
All right, I'm struggling with this phone quality, Barry. I don't know, are you in a position to maybe move around or improve it or maybe take a WhatsApp call?
If you want to try WhatsApp, please.
Let's do that and we can get it right then at that stage. Yeah. Thank you, because there's a lot of information here that I want people to understand and digest. So let's do that and come back after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now, 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, my apologies. I can't improve that phone line and I can't make it work on WhatsApp either. So at some stage later this morning, I hope to have a better phone line, have a conversation with Barry Roach at that stage. It's not possible with the quality of the line. But I can tell you something we've been working on and keeping a close eye on are a couple of different stories that will also be travelling with the Cork Children's Hospital Club as they head off to Disneyland Paris on Sunday. One is the wonderful story of Zach Higgins. Tell you more about that in a minute. And also then the Fuller family, who are on air with us, Amy and Sean Fuller. Sean is suffering from a very rare type of cancer. They launched a GoFundMe to create memories with their younger children, their little three children, Sasha and Millie and Beau. And I found that very, very sad and moving. And so did John Looney from the Cork Children's Hospital Club. And he rang me to invite the Fuller family, the kids, and Amy and Sean, to head off when they were heading off to Paris. The story of Zach Higgins, who was diagnosed with a brain injury because he was involved in a very serious accident. He was seriously injured when he was hit by a car believed to be carrying multiple passengers down on the Skahar Road, and he was rushed to Temple Street Hospital and was in a coma for a long, long time. He was left with a serious condition after the hit and run. And I also had that conversation on the air. John Looney also reached out to the Higgins family. So those and many more will be heading off on Sunday. So it's an exciting countdown to Sunday and indeed the flight with many kids off to Disneyland Paris on Sunday. Quick call with John, just see if they're all ready to go. Passports at the ready. John, go. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Fair play to you yet again. So those are two lovely stories that you kindly got in touch with me to help out those families. So thank you very much for both of those. How many will travel?
There's 82 of us travelling all together, Neil, on Sunday. And it's one of our biggest crowds ever, you know. So
what's the makeup of that? This is children and mammies and daddies from all different walks of life.
That's correct. Basically, this year now, for instance, we have five families. And four of those families, they either lost their mother or father, tragically, in the last 2 years. So even putting those four families together with their children, they have a lot of communication and talking to do, you know. We have seven deaf children coming this year. And again, for them to go to your Disney with sign language interpreters and all that, that's a huge thing. On top of that then as well, we have obviously children from the Cork University Hospital with illnesses that need medical attention and personnel to supervise their visits. So we have four wheelchairs, this year as well, coming along, and all that up and ready to go.
How do you fund all of this? I mean, this is not cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it isn't whatsoever. Even every year now, we need to raise at least 120,000 every year. And for raising that amount, that covers the whole Euro Disney trip, spending money, clothes, everything else. It also covers our magical trip to Party Keys for Santa Claus at Christmas. And we always say we're 100% voluntary. There's nobody ever paid in this club and they never will be.
I love it.
And once we can raise that amount every year, we're happy to do these two events.
I love it. So Disneyland Paris, you'll fly out Sunday. There's a full action-packed itinerary, of course, because it's just a wonderful place to visit. And they all stay in hotels within the complex, right?
That's correct, yes. We fly out Sunday morning. We'd arrive approximately 3:30. We are staying in the Cheyenne Hotel, which is in the complex itself. We go straight into dinner then in the hotel at 6. We'll sort the bags and everything else out, and then we go straight into the park to watch the Disneyland Parade and the magical fireworks on the first night. And then the second day, we get up for breakfast fine and early. And because we're staying in the Disneyland Hotel, we get an extra hour in the park before the visitors come, which is fantastic. And we come out of the park then again about 6 that night, back to the hotel again for dinner, and back in for more punishment that night again.
Yeah. And do you regard that as punishment, or do you love it yourself? Because you go all of the time. Do you ever kind of start taking Disneyland for granted, like?
Well, me and my family are always telling me I should do a lot more exercises and walking, not at 6,000 feet and all that. But I can tell you something. When I go to your Disney, you look at my phone, it's something like 30,000 on it, you know. So.
Do you go on all the rides yourself, though?
Officially, yes, you know, because I always say, you know, some of the rides that I've been on before, you know, the big kind of rides, I'd rather, you know, mind the handbags now and all that. I give other people the opportunity to do these things, you know. So.
You're the bag minder, so, John Looney.
I gladly mind the bags in some of those rides, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. So, will there be a big send-off? I know we're travelling up on Sunday. Will there be a big send-off as you head away?
That's correct, yeah. The Lord Mayor himself is coming up. We have a Spider-Man coming up, the media, as you said, the airport fire and police services, they'll all be up entertaining the kids. There's free snacks, teas and coffee supplied by the airport above, and there'll be a lot of kind of, you know, good well-wishers as well above.
Oh my God, so. There must be a great buzz. The kids, they must be so excited when they hit the airport, ready to go, are they?
Unbelievable altogether. And like even when you go up there now first, they're kind of like, you know, kind of gobsmacked. They just look at you, is this kind of happening, do you know? But like the minute that they, you know, go up them. The spiral staircase, as I call it, like, that's it.
That's it. The magic steps onto the airplane. Do you mind if I just have a quick word with Aisling, who is Zach Higgins' mummy? Aisling, good morning.
Hello. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Are you excited?
Oh, my God. Super excited. They're on countdown.
I was just going to ask you that. Had they been counting the days down and knocking
literally,
them off the calendar?
Zach came in to me this morning and the first thing he said is, how many more days, Mom? How many more days? And I'm like, two days.
So you can see firsthand the difference that the Cork Children's Hospital Club make with this trip to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, you know, they're absolutely fantastic and, you know, we're so delighted that they even thought of us, you know, we're so looking forward to it. And, you know, I think they're an absolutely fantastic charity and they're all about putting smiles on kids' faces, you know, that's what it's all about. And they're brilliant, they really are.
There'll be very little sleep in your house tonight or tomorrow night, I'd say.
I know, yeah, definitely, yeah.
How is Zach?
He's doing great. He's doing great. It's 5 years now this month since the incident. So on the 25th of this month, but he's doing great. He's do you know, he's in school. He's in first class in Beaumont Boys School in Blackrock. Mm. You know, he has his challenges, but like he's great on the whole. You know.
Yeah, I won't dwell on it, but just to remind people that he was hit down in Scarhard Road in apparently a hit and run, and at one stage he was in an induced coma. He was in intensive care for a long period of time. They were worried about brain injury. Will he make a full recovery, or maybe he's already at that point? Where is he at recovery?
I know, like when you have a brain injury, you never make a full recovery from a brain injury. You know, that it's just all about, I suppose, how you get around trying. I suppose how you try to cope with it. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of invisible stuff with the brain injury that people don't see.
Yeah.
You know, so he'll have that for life, you know, but he's like physically he's brilliant walking and talking. Now he has a weakness on his left side. But it doesn't hold him back.
Won't hold him back in Disney World anyway, Paris.
No. He's super excited. He's super excited, but he's comparing it. I don't think he really understands the magnitude of what Disney is. Like he's comparing it to the Walters and Ardmore last year.
How old is he now?
You know. He's seven.
And Max and Belle?
Max is 12 and Belle is 9, and we had a new baby since as well. We've Noah and he's 14 months.
Oh my God. So they're all looking yeah. after little Noah, so I suppose, are they?
They are, yeah.
Are you all how many of you are travelling on Sunday?
Myself, Paul, Max, Bell and Zach. Noah's a bit small for it, really, you know, so I'm kind of looking forward to going.
Bring Noah and John Looney will mind him. Not with all the bags and the babies.
yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. Enjoy it. It'll bring out the big child in you as well, won't it?
Yeah, oh, it will. You know, we were never there, so I don't know anything about it, so it's all new to us, you know, so we're all looking forward to it, you know, really looking forward to it.
Why wouldn't you be? Listen, have a great one, have a fabulous trip. Send us some photographs, will you, for sharing and that? We'd love to
share. I will, definitely, yeah.
And you might bump into the Fuller family as well. Amy and Sean and the kids, Sasha, Millie and Beau, they're all heading as well. John, you're a superstar, man. Well done. You're making lives so different for people every single year. Long may it continue. Well done.
And can I just thank everybody that made this possible, even all the volunteers, even their own families at home and all that. And I just like to say to the people of Cork that all the children are just back from the polling stations this morning and they all voted no to COVID. And yes to Disneyland.
Oh, that it could be that way. But anyway, listen, have a great time and make great memories, Aisling. Tell everybody that you're from Cork and that you're there with your wonderful son. May he enjoy every single moment of it. He deserves it. All right? Good luck to you and to Zach.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Not at all. Take care. Well done. As you as well, John. All the best. Have a good trip. Fair play as always. See you Sunday morning.
Thanks very much, Neil. Cheers.
All the best. Take care. Text 0868104106. It's fabulous. It's always great to follow up on stories. And every single year, they do the business. You know, talking about happy days, we are heading into the weekend, of course, and Mother's Day on Sunday. And you have another opportunity today. We have two prizes to give away today for Mother's Day. Not one, but two. Courtesy of ourselves in the Cork International Hotel. So it is Sunday lunch for two. Ideally, one of those two will be Mammy in the New Yorker Bar at the Cork International Hotel. Breakfast the following morning in the Atlantic Restaurant. And then, on the night that you're staying over, you got private access to the in-house cinema at the Cork International Hotel. Sit down, watch a movie with whomever you choose to take with you. So it's a great prize, not just one of them today, but two. Okay, two. So you have an opportunity now. We're looking for your funniest, most embarrassing or mortifying mammy moments or mammy stories. And we've had some laughs already this week. So this is your last opportunity to share those stories with us. Text 0868104106. Email Neil at redfm.ie. Get you on the air to tell the story and you might win a prize for yourself. Courtesy of ourselves and the Cork International Hotel. It being Mother's Day on Sunday. I also have bouquets of flowers to give away as we always do for Mother's Day. From Stacey and everybody at Shandon Flowers on Shandon Street. So that's all to come between now and midday today. But if we just want to stay with stories involving things that we were able to help to make a difference with, right? Do you recall we were talking recently about the need for a car to improve life for a couple who were actually involved in Meals on Wheels, but their car ended up being completely and utterly clapped out. It was originally an email that came in from Russell and Teresa Bevan, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, they were hoping that somebody could help them with the car. I won't go into the full details. We made it happen, or at least Fergus and the staff at Blackpool Autos made it happen. They donated a car, right? And then Dave Kelleher, the mechanic, then did all of the servicing on it. Serviced the car, he put in new front and rear brake pads, and then Ken and Decky, and I know Decky very well, runs a great car company called Crystal Clean. They gave the car a full valet and then it got picked up. And it is a Meals on Wheels car. So it's delivering meals on wheels to many Cork needy individuals around the north side. I want to just update on that one with Finbar Bevan. Finbar, good morning.
Good morning to you, Neil.
Neil,
you have no idea. You really have no idea what that car means. It really does, when you consider about 270 meals a week have to be delivered, you know, and when one car was gone, we usually have two, maybe three, it varies with volunteers, but like, you can't depend on the volunteers, they have other lives as well, you know, things, so, but now with that car, we're kind of, well, fairly settled.
Yeah, I mean, I was chatting about the original car, which I think had done something like, I don't know, was it 250 kilometres? So it was totally clapped out, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. They got a mechanic in to have a look at it, and he said the money was would be ridiculous to get it done, you know? So they just... It came up with a brilliant idea by Russell. It really was. He said it to me first, and I thought it was a brilliant idea because I would have never done it. So we were going to see if we were trying to manage them, one or two cars, because volunteers, you know. But anyway, as it happened, it was a brilliant idea, and Fergus, as you call him, came up with a fantastic solution to it. Really is, She's completely the boredom, and ourselves over in the community. We're so happy with it now, you know.
Okay.
So,
okay, it's brilliant. What remind us? What kind of a car did they get?
Oh, listen! Don't ask me about cars. I can tell you me one, man. It's a beautiful white.
It's a Kia.
Car.
It's a Kia. I think it's a Kia Seed.
It's purring like a bloody cat purring. It's beautiful. It's just fantastic.
And has it started out on the road now, delivering all of the meals and everything?
Oh, good. The very first day she got it every Sunday, and she was on... See, people think that you deliver the meals, you're finished. That is the only day into it. It starts off, you have to buy the stuff. We get it from different people.
Mm.
Then you get bags of stuff. No, Russell and Teresa are the two people who go and buy everything.
Mm.
You only see them in Blackpool. You swear they were catering for a family of about 12, the amount of stuff they get.
They take all that home then and cook it and turn it into meals, right?
No, they generally bring it. No, they bring it to the community centre.
To the communities, my apologies. To the Farnery Community Centre,
yeah. They have to clean the stuff. I know they get it, not the stuff you buy, but if you buy heads of cabbage loose, you've got to wash your tools. You've got to clean them. They do all that. Now and then, I do trivial, I do nothing. All I do is deliver, help to deliver as a volunteer. But they have to wash it, then they have to cut the meat, then they have to boil it, cook it, the whole lot. Then they have to put it into containers, 270 containers a week.
270. And have you any idea to the individuals, I don't want anybody's name or anything, but to the people that they're delivering to? I mean, I would imagine a lot would be maybe elderly people living alone, for instance. Yeah?
You right, nail on the head. You see, a lot of people, you have to allow people are sick, people lonely, people, and we might be the only person they'll speak to that day. It's only a few minutes, it might be a minute, it might be 2 minutes, but you can't stay too long because you want to deliver it. People are waiting for their dinner. Might be the only meal that they have.
Yeah.
Also, you had a cup of tea and a piece of bread.
Yeah.
But listen, it's a very satisfying, personal, something I do, something they do, but they do tremendous work. Honest to God, I've never seen... There are more people there helping out now, I'm not saying they're not. But these two do, they do a pile.
They certainly do. Russell and Teresa Bevan, who contacted us when their own car was clapped out, and of course, as I said, all of the people at Blackpool Autos donated the car, the Kia Seed. Dave Kelleher above at the Glen Industrial Estate did the servicing, and Crystal Clean gave it a valet. It must have been like a spanking new car. It's a Kia Seed diesel, and it's flying.
Brilliant. It's absolutely beautiful.
Delighted.
You might say it is we call it the family meals and wheels, but actually we do Farnley, Fairhill, Blackpool, the Glen, out the Mallow Road, Downtown, it's up on top of Dublin Hill.
Well, for sure, anyway, there's over 250 to 300 people relying on it every single week, and that car will make the difference.
Every single week.
It's a great story.
As I said, you it's a personal thing. You do it. They love it. And the funny thing about it, they're not even from the parish. That's the one. They're marvellous thing. They're from Cathedral Road.
They're north side, though. It's all that matters. I'll tell you what, I'm going to share that photograph, if I can, of Russell and Teresa and the Kia Seed up on our socials so people can get a look at their beaming faces, the food that they serve and the lovely motor car they have to serve in. It's a great story, and I'm glad we managed to get it to all come together at Finbar. Well done to everybody involved.
And the last thing they were saying, how to go into the car. I got a friend of mine who was a mechanic, and he tore it away from
to retirement.
Whenever you talk about people, Cork people as something else. As long as I'm alive, I'm saying that.
Well, there's another example of it. There's another example of it. And people should also support those that support us, including the Blackpool Auto Centre, Crystal Clean Car Valeting, and Dave Kelleher Motors. So thanks so much for the update. You're a star, Finbar. Delighted everything worked out. All right.
Cheers, thank you very much.
All right, on to the next challenge, as the fella says. Text 0868 104 106.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I like that email, actually. A lot of the time, everything comes down to people power. If you're relying on politicians and councillors, you get absolutely nothing done. There's an interesting one from John who said to me by email, is there not one politician in Ireland that thinks that we have too many of them? Tell them that now for the local elections this year or the general election, whatever happens. We have 900 councillors in Ireland, he says. What in the name of God are they all doing? Could we not set up a redundancy or a redeployment package for them? If they turn down the redundancy offer, I would then offer them redeployment on our roads to fix our potholes or our footpaths, perhaps. 900 councillors, all the while we have a shortage of council staff to fill in potholes or to keep the streets clean. Imagine how our streets and roads would look if we had 800 less councillors and 800 more council workers on our streets and roads, physically improving things in the country every single day. As says John Roach by email, we have too many of them, and if they won't take a redundancy package, redeploy them. Meanwhile, people who do work hard for a living and find it abs, and this is following up on maybe even a conversation I had yesterday some restaurateurs, particularly Three Little Piggies. You talk about the increase in the minimum wage, the problems with VAT, the increase in the amount of days that people can take off sick that's paid by the employer. It's so frustrating, said another business owner to me. I've been in the beauty and hair industry for nearly 20 years. I've employed a lot of people over the years. I pay all my taxes and everything asked of me. Since COVID, it's absolutely impossible to get staff. This is the beauty and hair industry. And I'll talk more about this topic later on when it comes to Botox and injectables and people doing it from salons in their own home. Anyway, she says, it's absolutely impossible to get staff. I'm advertising everywhere. It's an absolute joke. People do not want to work anymore. And all of these people are now doing hair and beauty from home for cash in hand and not registering anything with revenue. They're paying no tax, no VAT, no insurance, blatantly advertising their services on social media platforms and posters around the city. This is why a lot of salons are closing, bricks and mortar salons are closing, because if they come into us, we have to charge prices to cover all of the overheads and our obligations financially to the state. The increase in that and all the extra payments is absolutely crippling the hair and beauty industry. People don't see all of the extra things. We still have to pay staff for bank holidays, even when we're closed. Nothing's coming in. This is so, so difficult. And a lot of salons will close if the black market industry is not clamped down on and sorted out. I simply can't fathom how it's still going on. Beauty therapists should not be allowed to buy products from any cash and carry unless they're registered with revenue and can prove it. No wonder there are salons in the city and the county closing. It's simply unfair on business owners. As we are thinking about our staff, who we have to pay, because they have to pay their mortgages and their rent, and then we have our clients coming in wondering why we're €30 more expensive than these other people for colour services. It's very, very easy for them to charge cheap prices when they're doing it from their house or their kitchen, or if they've added on a little room. Some towns are now like ghost towns with the amount of businesses that have closed. It's very unfair on people that are trying to keep a nice community and trying to provide nice service and atmosphere for our clients. I know some clients who are very, very loyal to businesses and salons, and we appreciate that so much, as we understand that our prices are higher, but we do provide the whole salon experience. I hope you get an opportunity to read this out on your program, because it is so frustrating for me. Sharing might just help. Thank you for that on behalf of the hair and beauty industry, who have more so than ever now, and certainly they're saying since COVID, have to deal with that black economy of people doing it. Trained, I suppose, but doing it from home for cash. But if they're advertising blatantly up on, you know, social media platforms, isn't that very easy for revenue to track that down? If people are advertising on social media, you know, that they are doing hair and beauty from their own home, Just thinking. Anyway, text 0868104106. We'll pick it up, that and lots more besides after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And they certainly do. Text 0868104106. I was talking earlier in the week, and then we got really stuck into referendum calls and opinions on that. Of course, today is polling day and the polling stations are over. But I did talk earlier in the week about the RTE Investigates on Botox and injectables and fillers and those that are doing it, and how really loose it is with regards to rules and legislation and regulation. I mean, it was an interesting watch because they actually did undercover work. And last night then, one of the things that they investigated were aesthetic clinics who were advertising on social media, and they found an online academy called Lips for Kiss LFK, the website. I went onto it last night, actually, myself, and they advertise 20-minute videos with training on how to administer Botox. And the RT reporter for RT Investigates, Pamela Fraher, actually did register, and she paid the money. I was looking at one in particular, and it was €45 to get a certificate to allow you to work in some way, shape or form on lips. And you go on then, you pay your money, the €45, and it's actually, there's a cut price on it now, it's actually being offered at €30, and you pay your money and you watch a video, and then they send you a certificate, right? And she was sent the certificate showing that she had successfully completed the course Botox by Lips for Kiss. Now, only a doctor or a dentist or a registered nurse under the direction of a medical doctor can administer Botox under Irish law. So that seems quite bizarre to me alone, right? Then there was another part of it where they filmed undercover an unlicensed individual operating a beauty salon from their bedroom in a Dublin apartment. And just like I was saying about that email from Hair and Beauty owner just before 10 o'clock, advertising on Facebook. It's undercover footage, and you hear her saying, "You don't need to sterilize. With Botox, I'm using a very small insulin needle. So you don't need to sterilize." So I'm wondering, there must be an awful lot of botched jobs, you know what I mean? Because this really is... It's a medical device, isn't it? And like, you shouldn't be able to do this after watching, you know, a 25 or a 30-minute video. But anyway, just on that, I've got some different people that I want to have a conversation with. You included, actually, so text 0868104106. But Dr. James Cotter is the medical director and co-founder of Sisu Clinics, who at this stage now have branches in many, many places around the world. Talk to him in a second. But first up, Sarah is on line one. So Sarah, good morning.
Hello.
I want to update with you from yesterday, all right, and from the day before yesterday, with regards to the shocking chronic pain you were in, right?
Yes.
And many people were moved by your story; they could hear the pain in your voice. And yesterday, people were wondering, have you anything to report with regards to Sarah? How is she now? So, is there any improvement at all?
I first of all, hand on heart, I'd like to really appreciate what your show, Red FM, has done for me. You and your colleagues and the people out there who are, as I said, and there was a man on there earlier on, because I said I'd have to ring. I said, and let you know how I got on.
Yeah.
And let people out there know how I got on. And they shouldn't be suffering. And when that man said that Cork people are sold to the earth.
John Looney from the Children's Charity. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They are. Absolutely, they are. They're the best in the world. But what happened? I'm told you got whooshed through the hospital. What hospital? What happened?
Any hospital that I, a public hospital I ever went to over the years, I could be 12 hours waiting. And people out there know that. And I've seen old people, vulnerable people, people that I even just insisted they be seen before me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if that could be my mother, my, you know, my aunt, it could be any of my family.
Yeah.
And I'd be the person that would get up on the bus and stuff like that. And I'd make sure I raised my children to do the same. And I think it's only right that everyone should have a right to see a doctor when they're very, very sick or in pain. They should be prioritised.
But you were waiting. I know you're right, and it's kind of you to say that on behalf of other people. But you, as a private patient, were waiting 2 years for a CAT scan.
Yes.
Were having shocking episodes with pain.
Shocking.
You sound much more relaxed now. So, did you get into a hospital?
I got into the hospital. I was a half an hour. I was brought into triage. I got everything was. She was taking my. She first came out to me when I was in the waiting room. The nurse, the lovely nurse, and she said, "I'll just do your blood pressure, and I'll do this and that." And I said, "That's grand." Now she said, "I do have a questionnaire for you, but I can't ask you." She said the questions because she said it's there's no privacy really.
All right.
Now
before is this the CUH? What hospital is it?
It's the Mercy.
The Mercy, okay. And how did you get in so quickly?
I went to my GP. I got a letter. I told the GP that I said, "Doctor," I said, "I can't just do this. Even the journey out to the doctor was a nightmare." And the doctor then got a letter and sent me straight over to be seen. Now, right. That happened before, and I came out again with just paracetamol.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, this time was very different because you got that.
Oh.
Did you get the CT scan?
No, he tried to get the CT scan for me, the doctor in the hospital,
right.
The registrar that was on call, and they were so busy, he said that would be 3 days, and he didn't want to keep me in hospital for 3 days,
right.
Just waiting for a CT scan,
right.
Which he said, I really, really need. Now, I got an X-ray on the chest, I got an X-ray on my abdominal and lower body, and I was only in. After seeing the nurse, there was a special lady goes around, does the bloods.
Right. Okay.
Lovely.
Okay.
And
okay.
They've done all my bloods.
Okay.
I never got anything done so quick.
Right.
And I went, the doctor came in, brought me to a room, and then he brought me straight from there in. Once you go in these doors from A&E, in these doors, you know you're going to be looked after.
Yeah. You have to get through
but
it.
But it could take you 12 hours to get through them doors.
Okay.
And with that, you could be still sitting on it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and people were very upset following our call or chat on Wednesday, and were even asking yesterday, were there any improvements? So there's no CAT scan yet, though, is there?
No CAT scan, but with the condition that I had with the bowel cancer, that my bowel has narrowed. And
Okay. So how come you sound a lot more chipper and you don't, you know, you didn't have that... That I got a fierce sense of pain from you on Wednesday. Have you got proper pain management now?
Oh, I have. I have the best medicine now.
Okay.
Pain. Now I'm sore now. All right, I'm sore, and I also was prescribed another tablet to stop me from getting constipated because the tablet I'm on will make me very constipated.
And have they promised you that you will get the attention that you need with regards to the scan?
Yes.
And then that the scan then will lead to whatever surgery that's needed? Have they promised you that?
Yes, he said that. I said, thank you, doctor. And he said, when you get the scan done now, he said, I want you to come back over here to A&E. But I said, no, I said I'd be going to my specialist.
Right, okay. But anyway,
want to see you.
He still wants
still
to see
want
you because he cares, in fairness to him. So when do you expect to
that
get...
That never happened in my life.
No, listen, I don't know. Things just changed. I don't know. The last 24 hours have been an amazing change for you.
I felt like I was the Lord Mayor. I was...
You sound great. You sound great. You don't sound preoccupied with pain right now. That's great.
No. Okay. I have peace of mind, Neil.
Okay.
Peace of mind. And that's down to your show and the listeners.
Okay. Well, people were concerned about you because they could hear your pain and your suffering. I mean, you were literally shaken with the pain, 11 out of 10. So will you stay in touch? And are you expecting that CAT scan sooner rather than later?
sooner, and I hope that I'll have the procedure to move the scar tissue, because I have a lot.
I know. And we'll let your medical professionals deal with all that aspect. But let's keep it moving along for you. You stay in touch, and I'm glad that you sound so much more positive. Lot of energy.
I will.
And that's great. I'm delighted for you.
And I want to give thanks to the people of Cork, and I mean it. We're very good people. But you know what? We're too quiet. It's time now to stand up.
Sometimes we're way too quiet. Sometimes we're way too quiet. All right, girl. All right, Sarah.
If you don't stand up for yourself, you'll be left there and you'll die.
Well, thanks for calling this program anyway, and look after yourself. We'll stay in touch.
It's like that you phoned me and told me that I won 100,000.
Sure, look, nothing can be as bad as the pain that you're living. And there's others in pain just
like
you.
No money. I know. There's nothing worse than being sick.
All right, girl, stay in touch. Listen, good luck to you. All the best. Don't be a stranger. When there's an update, come back to me. All right, Sarah, take care. Bye.
Call Neil now. 0818-104-106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Learn about the frustrations there of somebody in the beauty and hair industry for over 20 years, employing lots of people, paying everything they got to pay. And even since COVID, there's been a huge change. Can't get staff. But people who would have been staff are now doing it themselves without any kind of tax or implications regarding VAT. Everything's for cash, and their overheads are zero because they're doing it from their own home, or they're doing it from their kitchen, the hair and beauty. In fact, it's much harder now even to get the trades. I was talking to a plumber during the week, said that so many have left now for new jobs, and a lot of it would even be a job that might be 3 12-hour shifts a week in say a factory with holiday pay and sick pay and pensions and health insurance provided and everything. They're not constantly on call in the trades and working in all kind of weather, or they're working indoors now and they just left. So that's made a huge difference. But with regards to, say, hair and beauty from that email, it led me along there. I just wanted to chat with Sarah because I was keen to get her update on the air. But I did mention James Cotter, who's the medical director, co-founder of Sisu, and a practicing practitioner himself. And the reason I wanted to chat with him actually was just to follow on from the RT Investigates. And he joins me by WhatsApp. James, good morning. Did you see that show? Did you see it the other night?
I did.
All right. You saw the part where they were saying that Botox, huge quantities of it, are flown into Newry, and then loads of beauticians are from all over the country go across the border, and they buy whatever they want. And they were quoted in the show. The undercover reporter said, they go across, you put them in your bag, you drive across the border. There's no police, there's no customs, there's nothing. A supplier selling unlicensed Botox from Korea, apparently. And you could have people going up there picking up products. Talking about one woman in Clare buys $5,000 worth of it every month. I mean, that's the Wild West, like, that's the black market, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I think there was a couple of issues with that, Neil. One, with the majority of brands of Botox, they're a cold chain product. So they have to be transported at a certain temperature and stored at a certain temperature. And I think in the program it was referenced that this Botox was coming in from Korea via sea, or even via air, and it was for long periods of time where, you know, the way it was transported wasn't controlled and regulated. And then you've also...
I mean, it's a chilled product, and it wasn't chilled in transport.
Yeah. that's one issue. And the other issue is the end consumer of that drug, because it is a drug, has absolutely no idea what they're getting. So there's a number of brands of Botox licensed in Ireland by the HPRA, for medical and cosmetic use. We're aware of in CISO of this type of practice going on. I think in the last 18 months, we've reported at least 12 different, we'll say, beauticians, for want of a better word, or unlicensed non-medical practitioners to the HPRA. Yeah,
but a beautician is not a doctor, nor a dentist, nor a registered nurse. And that's the law, isn't it?
Yeah, so as you referenced earlier, in Ireland, Botox can only be prescribed and administered by either a medical doctor or a dentist, or administered by a nurse under the guidance of a doctor. And the law is really clear about that.
Yeah, but if I did an online academy 20-minute video that I checked last night and paid my €30, they will send me a certificate saying that I successfully completed the course Botox by Lips for Kiss. And that certificate then, while I may not be capable of doing it, is kind of like the green light to become a Botox injectable myself.
Well, it's not, because you're still breaking the law.
Oh no, no, sure, no, well, I know that, but like it says. this is what's being advertised.
Being touted. Yeah, yeah. And I think the bigger problem there, Neil, as well, is actually around dermal fillers. Because in Ireland, there's no regulation around dermal fillers. Dermal fillers are classed as a medical device, and one would think that the operative word is medical. But because they're not classified as a prescription-only item, then you could legally, without doing any course, go and buy a dermal filler online.
What is it?
And I don't know.
Does it involve a syringe, a needle?
Yeah, a dermal filler involves a syringe that has a gel in it, and it's injected with a needle. So it can be injected into the lips or into the upper.
So right now, without any license or any training or anything, I could import dermal filler, get my syringes and needles, and inject things into people's lips.
Yeah,
I could do that right now, and I wouldn't be breaking any law.
No, you wouldn't be breaking any law. No, I you wouldn't be able to get insurance with any insurance company in Ireland, but from a legal point of view, you wouldn't be breaking any law.
And I'd be able to buy the product. Would I oversee? I'd be able to order it overseas, and nobody would question me or anything.
The kind of the premium product resellers, so the likes of Galderma, and we use Galderma products in the Restylane range, or Allergan, who and Juvederm products. Those companies, those larger pharma companies, will only sell their products to a doctor or a dentist. So one would have to provide them with a medical council number or a dental council number. At the lower end of the market, there is no regulation. You could order it as easily as, I don't know, you would order a pair of shoes or a whatever online, you know.
That's pretty scary. I mean, there's serious public health and safety here, isn't there? I mean, do you guys in Susu ever come across the botched jobs that can happen from dermal fillers, where it's not equal across the lips, and you end up like the brightest, you know, like Brightzilla?
Yeah, certainly. So we've across Ireland, the UK, and the US now, we've 26 clinics, and in Ireland, and the 16 clinics here, I would say across the group, we see complications from other places at a rate of about 4 per week. And at the lower end of the scale, it's that people don't like the cosmesis, or it's bad cosmesis or a bad cosmetic effect. And then ranging then in ascending order of seriousness to soft tissue infection. And then occasionally somebody has had a dermal filler injected into an artery, and it's blocked the artery or compressed it. And they've ended up with tissue loss and necrosis.
Necrosis is the dying of
tissue.
Tissue.
Yeah, yeah. So dermal fillers.
Where did you get this done?
Yeah, invariably it's been either at a beautician's or somebody's house, and price was the deciding factor as to why they chose to get it done there.
Okay, so not any way dissimilar to the hair and beauty email from earlier on. Who's seen a huge change, can't get staff because many who are capable. I'm assuming that in the hair and beauty industry, maybe at least they are beauticians or they are hairstylists. I don't know, but they're doing it from home. Same thing happening with. What is the difference between Botox and dermal fillers?
So Botox is a drug, botulinum neurotoxin type A, that relaxes muscles, and it causes a reduction in the fine lines and wrinkles in the overlying skin. Dermal fillers are a gel that contain a substance called hyaluronic acid, and they're used to replace volume loss in the cheeks, in the midface, and to increase volume or replace volume loss in the lips. Botox is temporary. It lasts for about 3 months. It takes about 2 weeks for it to work. With dermal fillers, a good quality product will be naturally absorbed by your body over the course of about 12 months. The effects of dermal fillers, you see immediately, it replaces volume immediately. The complications of dermal fillers are often as well, unfortunately, apparent immediately. If they're injected into an artery, they'll block the artery and they'll block the blood supply to the tissue that artery supplies. And you know, as we said, there's very serious consequences from that for the patient.
Well, if one of them's a toxin and the other contains acid, you can see where we're going with this.
Well, acid in the sense in that the compound is hyaluronic acid. It's not that it's acidic that causes the problem. It's that you're injecting something that can block a blood vessel. And in the most severe cases, somebody can end up going blind from this So I think for me, it's you know, the issue of Botox being imported into the country and being injected by unlicensed and unqualified practitioners is terrible. I mean, it's appalling. And I think the dermal filler issue is as big, if not bigger, in that at least with Botox, there is some regulation around it, albeit maybe it's not being enforced to the level that it should be. But with dermal fillers, there's absolutely no regulation around it.
And but are you guys not banging the table for more regulation? Or
yeah,
for this?
Yeah. Back in 2020, myself and my brother, Dr. Brian Cotter, wrote to the Minister of Health just at about the time when it looked like maybe there was going to be something done about this. And then COVID hit and obviously priorities changed. You know, throughout the country, and it just it never really seems.
And tell me, this. Okay, it doesn't sound as if it's a priority, but tell me this: with regards to say our rules and regulations, and the UK's or Europe's, are they much more stringent and much more regulated?
The UK has a similar problem. In the UK, to inject Botox, you have to be a doctor or a dentist. Or a nurse prescriber as well can do it with a bit more autonomy than the nurse here can do it. Around fillers, there's no regulation. And probably that course, in inverted commas, that you saw may have been UK-based. I've noticed there's a lot of courses in the UK popping up for non-medics to train them in Botox.
But your online course can be anywhere in the world. That's the virtue, the beauty of it being online. A 20-minute video from anywhere. Training in inverted commas how to administer Botox for €30 and getting a certificate. It's bizarre. I mean, is there a big, like, the lads were quoting me some prices that lip fillers for 1 mil could be, correct this if it's wrong now, €300, with some places, for instance, the alternative economy offering online offers for fillers for €20. Is that typical?
Yeah, I've seen that. So, for example, for us at Sisu, it's €300 would be the typical price for lip filler. For €20, it's not going to cover the cost of even a poor quality product. And I think, you know, cheap and your face aren't things you want in the same sentence. And I think just the risk that people take, if they actually stop and thought about it for a second, that they wouldn't. Look, I don't mind where people get these treatments done, but what I would urge your listeners to do is, if they're thinking about getting Botox or dermal fillers, is to do their research, make sure that they go to either a doctor or a dentist, and that they go to a clinic.
Yeah, it's akin to surgical tourism, isn't it? For gastric banding and gastric bypasses and gastric sleeves and people who go overseas and they get Brazilian bum lifts and have problems with those. It's you know, the Kardashian.
I think that the mindset and the mentality of price shopping for something like that is the same. You know, you're eschewing your own kind of personal safety, you know, to save money.
One of the issues with Botox, though, is once you commit to it, you kind of need to keep getting it topped up always, don't you? People don't tend to kind of ever give up, do they? It's something they sign up to for life.
I suppose the first thing is, like, we have patients and we don't have customers or clients, okay? So when somebody comes in, you know, they're treated like a patient. But at the same time, nobody needs Botox and nobody needs dermal fillers. They're very elective treatments. If you get Botox and you try it out and it lasts for about 3 months, then in 1 year's time, you'll be 1 year older, maybe minus the 3 months worth of wrinkles you would have accumulated in that 3 month period.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep getting it. People often do, as they like the effect, and maybe it just becomes, you know, becomes part of their routine and something that they do. But it's not a case of once you get it done, you know, you're somehow chained into getting it indefinitely. There's personal choice with that.
Yeah. Why do people like the big lips? Is that something that you ever thought about as to why they're just unhappy with their lips?
I think you see two different cohorts for women who get lip fillers. And for a start, we're not a fan of the big lips or the exaggerated look. I think a more natural look is something that's more in line with our philosophy as a clinic. There's two different cohorts of women who get lips. There's the women in their early 20s, and they do want that bigger look, and they want their friends to notice it and maybe to comment on it. And a lot of it is driven by social media. And then the second cohort of women is actually women in their 40s and above, where they will come in and they'll say, look, I was always quite happy with the volume I had in my lips, and you know, I never wanted to do anything with them. But I found as I've got into my 40s or my 50s, I'm losing a little bit of volume.
Oh, I can get that. I understand that.
I'm talking about them very much.
And it's none of my business. I'm just remarking on some of them are quite enhanced. Quite enhanced.
Yeah. And I think part of it as well, Neil, is that the unlicensed practitioners will advertise on their social media a very exaggerated look. And I think when people come to established clinics and proper clinics with doctors and dentists, they're not inclined to do those type of treatments. So they look elsewhere. And then the hook for these unlicensed, cheaper price point practitioners is to advertise that very exaggerated, blown up look.
So does it come a time with maybe a particular patient when you say, no, you have enough, I don't want to do any more work upon you?
So everybody who works in our clinic, we employ almost 40 doctors now across three countries. There's also a medical professional. And, you know, the patients can get what treatments they want, but you also have to be ethical in how you administer them, you know. And every week there are patients that we turn away, or maybe we steer in a different direction, or gently put it to them that maybe that's not the treatment for them right now at this time, or to continue on but a particular treatment wouldn't be in their best interest.
So you're ethical.
That's the type of ethics you get when you have medical professionals operating within a business environment.
Okay. Something needs to be done to tighten it up, though, because what we saw during the week was quite shocking, for sure it was. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it. Dr. James Cotter, Medical Director, co-founder of CSU. Text 0868 104 106. Call's on the way.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
All right, text 0868 104 106. But there are organizations that do train and train properly. There's a college, European College of Aesthetic Medicine and Surgery, known as ECAMS. Pim Lim is the CEO and founder of that college that does the proper training and joins me by phone. Pin, good morning. Thank you, doctor. Sorry, that phone line has dropped on me. Okay, I'll come back in a few minutes' time. Let me talk to a regular contributor to this here program, Glamity Jane, herself very much to the forefront when it comes to beauty of all sorts and the industry itself. Did you watch that show the other night there, Glamity Jane?
Oh, my God, I did. I was so shocked.
Were you really? I mean, did you not know it was that bad?
Look, I knew it was pretty bad. I mean, as Dr. James was saying there, like, for me, what was most astounding, you know, and I've worked in an aesthetic clinic, not as an injector, by the way, because I'm not a doctor, dentist, or nurse, but as a manager. And, you know, the cold chain thing was a big, big deal for us. We had to make sure that we were there. Sometimes we'd have to come in early to take the cold chain.
When you say cold chain, the product must remain from start to finish to delivery chilled. Yeah.
Chilled, exactly. So they'd say to us, look, we're delivering at 8 a.m. We'd have to go in and open the clinic and make sure that we were there for 8 a.m. And we had a fridge. So when I was looking at these guys the other night, and, you know, sometimes you will get doctors that will travel. Maybe you might get a guy who's coming down and doing a day in Cork, but he'll bring that in a freezer bag with him and he'll keep it chilled, you know?
Basically, yeah.
So I just, that was the first thing that was kind of astounding. But the other thing then that was kind of astounding was that there was a dentist, like a medical professional, a guy, and he was selling it out the back, and he was admitting as well openly that he sells high-grade and low-grade product, which was absolutely off the wall.
Okay, explain to people now who he was selling to.
So he was selling to beauticians. He was selling to anybody, really. I mean, the lady that did the investigation was saying that she was somebody called Jen's Beauty Rooms. So she was very vocal that she was a beauty person, that she wasn't a medic.
Yeah.
And then he was sort of saying, look, if you buy more, and he was encouraging her to basically to buy more product and to do more lips and stuff. But the problem
a dentist
is, this guy is legally allowed to buy the stuff, but then he was distributing it out illegally. And then, of course, you have, I had someone contact me on Instagram from the UK asking me did I want to train in aesthetics. And I was like, look, I'm interested in it, but I'm not a medic and I'm interested in having it done, not doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you don't, oh, babe. They said, oh, babe, you don't have to be a medic. And I was like, ah, here. So,
what would that course have been? It wouldn't have been on these watch this 30-minute video on WhatsApp kind of thing, is it?
No, it was, you went over, they have a place over in Manchester somewhere, and you go over and you train with their trainer, who is not a medic either, by the way, for the day or for 2 days, and then you come back and you're theoretically allowed to inject.
That would have been a fair chunk of change. How much would that have been to do?
Oh, you're looking at thousands, like, and then you obviously pay for your own accommodation if you're going over there. And the thing is that then they recruit models. So it's a total money maker racket, right? Because they recruit models. So they advertise and they say half price lip fill is in our training academy. So you go into the training academy then, you know, as a person, you think, geez, I'm getting £60 lip fillers. This is brilliant. But the person that's injecting them hasn't probably never even held a needle. You'd be better off getting a vet to do it, like. So, it's insanity. So that's one of the things that I'd be advocating constantly for. I'm just like, we really need to look at the difference between beauty and aesthetics, because the lines are being just blurred a little bit.
And why beauty is hair, makeup, nails, you mean, yes. things like that.
Look,
that's fine.
Doing eyebrows and lips, you know, but it's not a clinical. The other thing is that all this has to be done in a clinical environment as well. You need a sharp spin. Like, there's a couple of basic things. And
if you had a beauty salon and you were doing hair and makeup and you were doing nails and stuff like that, and you wanted to get into Botox or derma filler, you were obliged by law then to retain the services of a doctor or a registered nurse, aren't you? Unless it's derma filler.
Botox,
yeah, unless it's derma filler, the hairdresser or the nail beautician could inject derma filler.
Only if you could set up in the canteen in outside Red FM and start doing it if you wanted to, in theory. Now it's not safe practice, because theoretically you're probably not insured. And this is the problem. And you see, the other danger here is that when there's a complication and you go back to the person, they can't reverse the complication.
What would the complication?
The hyalase.
Okay, tell me why they can't reverse it, and tell me. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Why can't they reverse it, and what are they trying to reverse? Yeah.
So if I go and get a dermal filler and somebody blocks a vessel, there's a product called hyalase that's needed to dissolve the filler, but it's only a doctor or dentist that can get the prescription for the hyalase.
Why isn't that available on the black market? Like, why isn't the dentist selling that as well?
Well,
out of the back of his car.
I think he was. But then, like, the injecting of that and stuff like that should be done by a doctor. So a lot of the time, they can't manage the complication. Then they're sending them maybe to A&E, and then the doctors in A&E, because this is such a new concept, and because they're dealing with people that are having heart attacks and strokes and car accidents, sure, they're not dealing with filler complications every day, so it's hard for them to manage the complications as well.
Yeah.
They obviously have the product to do it, but like, why should, you know, and a lot of the time as well, you know, there's a lot of shame, and this is one of the things I try and kind of eradicate, is people that are ashamed of getting it done. Nobody should be ashamed of wanting to alter their appearance, get a little bit of lip filler, get a little bit of, you know, Botox. Nobody should be ashamed of doing that. The shame is kind of lifting slowly now, but unfortunately, when the shame and the stigma is lifting, you're opening the market then to people that are just looking to make easy money. And the markup, obviously, if you're buying something that isn't suitable for use in the EU, which some of that product the other night wasn't, it says not for use in the EU. So when they're using that, they're buying the cheaper product. So they're like buying the Tesco value equivalent of Botox and filler, and then they're injecting it in an unqualified way. It's like, it's, but then because someone sees it, that it's €60 cheaper to get their lips done with a beautician than it is to go to an actual medical clinic to get it done,
they're taking that risk. Yeah, but like, you wouldn't have your car serviced by somebody who wasn't a mechanic, like, do you know what I mean?
100%. And the other thing I think as well, and I want to make this really clear, the people that are doing it, so if you're going in and getting your hair done, right, you have a trust with that hairdresser. So if they say, oh, I have this new business or this new side thing, the client is going to want to give them their business, but they're a client, they're not a patient to those people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So the client is saying, God, you know, she's doing lips now and she said she'll give me 30 euro off if I get it done and I'm getting my highlights done. So they're kind of breaking the trust in a way because they have this trust with their client and now they're doing something that they're legally not allowed to do.
Okay,
so
but maybe that individual who wants to get a bit of filler or wants to get a bit of Botox personally doesn't know that there's anything wrong. They might not know any laws have been broken. They may not know that that person is not qualified. Oh, they may not know where the product came from. They may not know.
The normal person isn't going to know that because what you have then when you go into this place is you have, like she had the other night with the Lip Filler Academy or whatever, they have certs on their wall and they're like, oh, sure, I'm qualified to do it. But sure, you could print that off. I could run one of those up on Canva and have Neil Prendeville assess.
Well, last night the course that I was going to take was 45 euro Botox course. And then this morning I checked it again and they were offering me the same cert for 30 euro.
Yeah, that's frightening when you think about it. And then, like, when you're not getting product that's in cold chain, if it's Botox, and then you're getting stuff that's coming from Korea that's like Kotox or, you know, whatever, it's like buying it from Shein or Temu or somewhere like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the level that you're at. So, like, one of the things, and I get filler and I get skin treatments, I get invasive skin treatments and filler. I just had PRP done there, which is where they take your blood and they put it in a centrifuge and they inject it back into your skin to give your skin kind of a bit of a glow, right?
Right.
So, when you're having it done, I always ask, and that's just because I'd advocate for myself, sorry, what filler is that? Or what fillers you propose to use? And then they'll say Juvederm or Restylane. But then you hear some of these kind of off kind of record ones. And that's the problem, is that, as Dr. James said, when you have Galderm and you have like John Bannon and all those people that are selling and distributing products to doctors and dentists, and then you have people that are probably buying them from another wholesaler or getting them through another wholesaler, and then they're just going around flogging it out of the back of their car to
beauticians. Wow.
You know, so it is dangerous, and I'm always... I started talking about Botox and fillers on Instagram about 10 years ago and people were saying to me, geez, you're off your head doing this. And now it's become more mainstream. But I've always been advocating for safety and beauty. That's one of my things. You know, it has to be done in a safe environment.
And do you ever come across people in your life where they've had work done and it's gone wrong and they're living with the consequences
of it? Well, having worked in a clinic, front of house, you know, you'd have people walking in off the street saying, I had this filler done, I had that filler done, or, you know, I don't like this, or now I've got a lump. And look, that can happen to anybody. That can happen to a dentist or a doctor as well. You know, you can just not like the appearance of it, or, you know, that sort of way. And that's okay. That's fine. You know, you went in, you said you wanted 2 mils in your lips. They gave you the 2 mils in your lips. Now you don't like it. You have to get it dissolved.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I get a lot of messages. When I put up a thing on Instagram the other day about it, and I got loads of messages from people and loads of messages from people telling me, look, this person has come into me, that person's come into me, this is something that I've heard. I heard a story about somebody who was training someone how to inject fillers, and they were doing it on like a chicken skin, piece of chicken skin, so that they could show the effect. Like a dead chicken is not like a live person.
God,
you know?
That's a wild west.
It's the wild west. And for people, for patients, like for people, like the people that follow me and stuff, I mean, I try and keep on top of it as much as I can. Right. But even I was on Monday night absolutely appalled, because there's no way I thought that somebody who was a dental professional would do that. And then he was selling chairs out at the back of his yard like Del Boy. I was like, it was horrific.
Any opportunity to turn a buck, like, never mind of the consequences. Nice one, good to catch up. Thank you for that, Glamity Jane. You can follow her on social media platforms. All around good girl. Thank you for that. I mean, great, great individual. You can pick up the phone yourself. You've got stories to share. Text 0868 104 106. Calls on the way.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Call this side of 11. I already mentioned Pin Lim, who is the founder of ECAMS, and that would be the European College of Aesthetics, Medicine and Surgery, joins me by phone. Pin, good morning. I wonder, you know, is there much you can add to what we've heard already from our various contributors about what really is something, as you said yourself, that is in dire need of stringent regulation?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at it, all started off with a qualified, proper training, because even if you look at the way that doctors are actually being trained, there are so many different standards, because as you have already mentioned, doctors can actually be train just online, and then some of them that are already a doctors, which you see on the show itself, he himself claim and also doing training itself. So when the doctors, they start off with their career, they have no idea which training school is actually good for them.
So the doctor or the dentist or the nurse, while they may be a doctor or a dentist or a nurse, they must be specifically trained in this as well.
Definitely, because These are procedures that are elective. So during their training schools, they are not trained how to do aesthetic procedures. So that's the reason why they have to take an additional step. If they want to get into the aesthetics world, they must get themselves properly trained.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they have the, you know, from the doctor's perspective and the nurse or the dentist's perspective, they have the same issue because it's Wild West out there. So they have no idea who is the proper training. So the only way they can compare is by course.
Yeah, so the doctors and the nurses and the dentists need specific training, but they would be somewhat safer than a beautician or a nail technician in their bedroom injecting Botox into somebody with a fake cert that they bought online.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that is again totally a different, I mean, like, for example, in our school, European College of Aesthetic Medicine and Surgery, we do not train, not even nurse. We don't train nurse. We only train doctors, surgeons, and dentists. And it depends on what type of dentist, because certain countries, they don't even allow dentists to perform the procedure. So we don't train doctors that is from those countries that are not allowed, and we don't train them. So that's why, you know, having in Ireland, there is no regulation where any beauticians or aestheticians claim themselves aestheticians, and nurse, they are doing fillers and Botox injections, and that is really scary.
Okay, so you're saying that not only those who aren't even medically trained in general are doing it, but that many of the professionals are also, your words, taking shortcuts, going for low-cost options, or availing of a free training course that doesn't come up to the mark.
Exactly. And you know, like, for example, doctors, in order for them to perform a Botox injections, first of all, they need to know the anatomies really well, and they need to know each product. What does it do? The difference between different brands, their dilutions is different. Their units is actually different.
Okay.
So they have to understand how to inject it properly. Are they going injecting into the muscles? Where is the muscles? Are they below the muscles? Are they above the muscles?
So your academy, your college actually uses a cadaver for the training. This is somebody who has volunteered after death to give their body for medical science and things like that. Is that what you use?
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
So what we do is that for doctors that doesn't have any experience at all, they have to come into a basic anatomy, which is what we used. It's the fresh frozen cadaver.
Wow.
And they flew in from the U.S. and all these are volunteers that actually give their body for the science. And we will actually teach them step by step from the upper face, where are all the different anatomy, because you'll be very surprised, even very experienced surgeons or doctors or plastic surgeon, our majority is plastic surgeon, they come in, they still have to refresh, because an anatomy that you look at the face from a facelift perspective to an injectables perspective is totally different, because when you are lifting up the face, you don't really care about the vessel.
No, I know that they're doctors and they're surgeons, but they don't have any issue in dealing with and working on the body, no? I mean,
no.
As a lay person, of course, I would never be able to do something like that. I just couldn't.
Well, but for the doctors, they have to, I mean, they are used to be trained. I mean, during their residency procedure, they have a cadaver anatomy class.
Yeah, I suppose they've done it already. Yeah.
So they have already done that, the base, kind of a basic trainings in there. So, but then when they come to our course, it's actually very specialized. We just kind of teach them and let them understand, you know, where is the safe zone, where is the danger zone,
yes,
where you can inject and where you shouldn't inject, how deep you should inject, how shallow you should inject, and what is the consequences when you actually inject.
Okay.
Because on top of that, we also teach them how to deal with complication, because when you actually have a vascular compromise, you actually have 45 minutes to save the eyes. And if you are, you know, if within 45 minutes you didn't take action, it might lead to blindness.
In the event of an injection of Botox that causes a complication, is it?
No, not Botox, fillers.
Fillers, yeah. Oh, fillers. Ah, yeah, but yeah. Sure, I could, under the law now, I could inject fillers, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. But, which is even more dangerous.
Yeah. So just finally, when you hear the stories that we've been hearing this morning, and indeed watch a program like RT Investigates, the Wild West of Botox and fillers, it must very much exasperate you and frustrate you that the laws are not there to protect people.
It is very frustrating. I mean, we have been a strong advocate since 2008, and we have stick to our ground from then until now. We have never wanted to train non-doctors and non-surgeons, because we strongly believe that, you know, that it's not just about injections. It is a big responsibility, and when you, if you inject and you don't know how to treat complication, you know, you can ruin someone's life, where somebody's come in which is perfectly all right, and right now you totally definitely changed their life.
Yes, yes.
For the worse.
I know, for the worse. Thank you for that, Pin Lim from ECAMS, CEO and founder. Your thoughts are welcome. Text 0868 104 106. My apologies to Shirley. We'll pick it up after 11.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And be part of the conversations. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. So we have some great gifts again today. Your opportunity to win a lovely overnight with all of the trimmings at the Cork International Hotel. A Sunday lunch for two in the New Yorker Bar, followed by an overnight stay in a deluxe room. You'll have breakfast the following morning, both of you, in the Atlantic Restaurant. And you have access, exclusive access, to the in-house cinema on the night that you stay to relax and watch a movie. So it's your funny, most mortifying mammy stories. One last opportunity to get them into me. Text 0868 104 106, and we'll start on that in a few minutes time. Also, being Mother's Day on Sunday, it's International Women's Day today and Mother's Day on Sunday, you have an opportunity also to win flowers from Shandon Flowers. Beautiful bouquets from Stacey and the gang at Shandon Flowers on Shandon Street. So let me just do some texts on different topics. A word to the wise: John is in Toulouse and he's coming home. He says, I hope you guys are well. Could you please let us know what's going on in Cork? He says, for Paddy's Day, so I don't want to change that. I get accused of changing wording, even though I prefer St. Patrick's Day myself. For the first time, we're bringing our two kids, 10 and 6, home to Cork for the weekend from Toulouse, what is in France. They've never spent St. Patrick's Day in Cork, so we're very excited. Also, it would be fantastic to see the parade and the atmosphere. Thanks to you and your team. Take care, says John in Toulouse. Well, I can tell you that there's loads of information available for you where you are right now in Toulouse as to what's happening next week. And it's not just Sunday, the 17th of March. Monday's the bank holiday. It's from the 15th to the 18th of March, the Cork St. Patrick's Day Festival. I'll talk more about it next week. But to John and to anybody else who wants to get a sense as to what's happening over the 15th, 16th, 17th and 18th, then just go on to corksstpatricksfestival.ie. www.corksstpatricksfestival.ie. It's all there. Not just the parade, but all of the other outdoor, indoor events, all of the music. There's a fabulous pub trail. It's all there. So go and check it out, John, and anybody else that wants to get an idea as to what's happening next week. A few things that are happening next week on this here program. We've got Aslan in studio playing live on Monday, and we have the Frankenwalters playing live on Friday ahead of the St. Patrick's weekend. So a lot more in besides And we're also playing out live again this morning. So live music to start out the weekend. You mentioned energy costs. Yes, we have the dearest electricity costs in Europe, but that shouldn't surprise us. Anyway, you just mentioned energy costs. I just signed a new contract for my energy in Spain. The new contract is a fixed contract, and the cost now is 0.127 cent per kilowatt. This fixed rate is guaranteed for 2 years. Guaranteed by the energy supplier. If I find a cheaper option anywhere else, I can just switch companies without a penalty, or I can give them an option to match the price. All of that in Spain. The way it should be. Hey, very, very different to the system in Ireland, our texter says. And thank you for that, as if we weren't frustrated enough as it was. On another note, my mum and dad are currently in my property in Spain. Last week, my mum needed to go to the A&E in hospital. My poor dad dropped her off and was prepared for a very long A&E wait. He went down the road for a coffee. He was just finished his coffee and my mum called him to say that she was finished. My mom was treated and out of hospital in under 30 minutes. She also had a follow-up appointment that afternoon with another doctor. Thankfully, she is well again now. And this, Neil, was in a public hospital. Thank you. If we weren't exasperated enough, we're even more so again. So why is it so different going into an A&E in Spain and going into an A&E in Ireland? She was in and out in half an hour. A visit that I had to the A&E last year, I was told and informed, and nobody's fault, telling me, you'll be waiting 12 hours before you get seen. It was pretty much almost on the button, 12 hours, just a little less than it. So that's the Spanish model versus the Irish model. On assisted dying, I mentioned that this morning. Texter says, I don't agree with euthanasia. I never will. I've studied it. I was surprised to see Esther Ranson signing up for Dignitas. With the state this country is in, we will be introduced to a sanitized version at first, and then it will become watered down. The rules will be relaxed. Do you know that there's no age limit in Belgium? So you could have a parent making a decision for a two-year-old, which I find disgusting. We checked the European Agency for Fundamental Rights just to fact check that. And in Belgium, the right to euthanasia was extended to children in 2014. There is no minimum age required, but the law requires the child to have the ability to understand and to give written consent. Very strict medical criteria must also be fulfilled, apparently. But in Belgium, the right to euthanasia was extended to children in 2014. So there's all those and lots more besides. Can you give a big shout out to all women, particularly on International Women's Day, Neil? Include my wife, Lorraine Morey, mother of six. She's competing in the second Taekwondo competition in Rathbeacon on Sunday, Mother's Day. All the kids are so proud of you. Have a great day, not just today, but indeed Mother's Day on Sunday. And then there's lots more on Mother's Day, which I'll come back to throughout the course of the morning. But I want to switch to our mammy calls in a few minutes' time. But just ahead of that, staying with the whole area of injectables and aesthetics and Botox and indeed derma fillers and the Wild West that it certainly is, I got Shirley Feeney from Shirley's Beauty and Hair Clinic, laser clinics joins me by phone. Shirley, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Neil. How are you?
I understand the beauty side of it, but what does laser clinic entail?
The laser clinic is we do hair removal and we do tattoo removal and we do but I suppose really what I came on.
No, I was just curious because there would be an element of training in that, and clearly you would be trained
huge.
To do it. Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
Like that, I suppose the black market is really what the problem is that on the black market, you've got products that are not controlled. You've got girls that are coming in, getting training from myself. I pay for them to go on the courses. I pay for them while they're on the courses. They build up a clientele in the salon for 1 year, 2 years, and then they're opening up from a bedroom or a desk in their homes around. Now, I never minded anyone doing a little bit on the side, but the black market is so rampant that in 25 years, it has been unbelievable to try and get staff. Because it's all cash transactions and trying. Businesses are finding it so hard to compete with these ladies that are doing it from the home and undercutting businesses. I've colleagues and salons that have closed because the owner has gone needs to go on maternity leave but can't get staff to cover. So you've got over 800 on the register. They're claiming whatever benefits they're claiming, and I'm sure that they're needing benefits, but it's the black market.
Okay,
absolutely rampant.
Okay, so I had an email this morning from somebody over 20 years in hair and beauty, right, employing lots of people, and she's also talking about people who are crippling the industry by working from home. But she made the point that beauty therapists who do this, right, go out on their own and do their own thing, they should not be allowed to buy any single product from any cash and carry or any supplier. It's so bad unless they are registered with revenue.
Exactly, and that's not, and there's no regulation on it. They're doing it from the home and they're buying products from the supplies and they're charging, they're undercutting businesses. We're paying VAT, we're paying taxes, we're paying insurance, we're keeping the girls in the workforce, and it's just literally businesses are struggling to stay.
But do you see it from the type, from the side of the client, I wonder, Shirley? Not that I'm saying that they should be going to unregulated or untaxed. But they may have had to make huge cutbacks in their life in the times we live in, and that's why they're attracted to a cheaper price.
I can understand, but at the same time, Neil, we're 13.5% VAT that we've had to pay all through COVID and right through, we've never been reduced. So our rates, our VAT, you're trying to give the girls, you pay VHI for the girls, you're paying into pensions,
you've got so many
overheads. And I understand everyone loves a bargain, but these girls that are doing it from their homes are blatantly advertising on our social media platform. You've got these girls doing it from the homes, getting huge amount of cash in every day. And only
accepting cash, yeah?
Oh, only cash. And I'm talking about now, not a couple of weeks. This is like maybe 8, 9, 10 a day, working 5, 6 days a week. Huge amount of cash that's coming in. And no taxes, no VAT being paid, nothing.
And do you know of cases, because you refer to it in your text, that some of them then on top of that could well be on state benefits?
100%. And that's the scary part, is that the reason taxes are being paid is that it's been put back into the economy for services, buses, for pensions, for nothing is being paid, and they're earning huge amounts. And the problem for our businesses is we cannot get staff.
You can't get
to work.
Staff, yeah.
And the other side of it, Neil, is that childcare is so expensive that you have these girls and they're, I can't afford, you know, to give up my benefits. I can do it from the side of the house. I can get all this much money and have all my benefits with that. It doesn't pay me to go to work because childcare is so expensive. And you've got all this side of it, but it's literally crippling the hair and beauty industry. I know 3 salons alone that have closed because they can't get staff.
It's also against the law on top of everything else. Yeah.
Oh, and like I said, I never minded anyone getting it. And I understand that, you know, we're all struggling. We all love a bargain. But it's just, and another thing then as well, Neil, is these products, they're not regulated. They're you know, like the products we buy in, we're FDA approved.
I know.
We have insurance, we're regulated.
I know. Does anybody ever report the online advertising, and to whom would they be reported to?
They don't want to know anything about it. They said they have no control over it.
Who?
But yet, if the government does not want to know. They have, the revenue does not want to know about it. It cannot control what's going on in the home. But yet, if I fail to pay any tax or anything,
but your revenue
like that,
official could rock up to somebody's door with a print off of their social media advertising, and they're dead to rights.
But they're not. That's the problem, Neil. They're not doing it. I've had girls coming in for 12 months building up a huge clientele. I've paid for unbelievable amount of courses and opened up behind me, around me. And it's very hard to keep your business open, to be kind of, to be trying to compete with other prices on the market.
I know. So if they're doing, and they're doing hair and beauty and nails, is there a proportion of them doing Botox and doing
nails, injectables, eyelashes? They're offering all kinds of services. in the home. It's not regulated. Okay. There isn't insurance there, and the products aren't regulated.
Okay.
And it's a scary business, and it is threatening other businesses in the industry. And it's just, I just wanted to shout out for the beauty industry, for myself and for other colleagues in the in their salons. We are all struggling to try to make ends meet. But we're trying to do it the right way.
The right way as opposed to the wrong way. Or, at least, you know, paying your fair due as you go along and work.
You need to pay what's right. You need to pay your taxes. You need to pay your VAT.
All right. Thank you for that. Much obliged, Shirley. As always, Shirley Feeney from Shirley's Beauty and Laser Clinic. I'll pick up on more of this on Monday. So do get involved in the conversation. Text 0868 104 106, particularly like Shirley, if you are in the industry, or indeed if there's anybody out there wants to get in touch with me, say for instance by text if you're doing it by home. I'll never give out people's personal details if you don't wish it. I won't share it with a third party, but if you think you can defend what you're doing, please do so and tell us the story behind it. Text 0868 104 106, and your details are safe with me.
Call Neil now, 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Been a crazy week. It'll be good to finish up with this Friday with more live music in studio. Mark Daly plays us out. Thanks again to Owen Hennessy and Live Music Promotions Ireland. We've been doing it for many a long month now and showcasing great Cork talent. And Mark's up to us from Crookstown, Cork-based Irish rock musician. So I'm looking forward to that. Free Food Friday is on pause at the moment, but happy to tell you that the Monday Munchies are back from Monday. A great Cork company recently opened. They're called Luso. They're from Ballincollig. For everybody who loves chocolate and cake, Monday Munchies are back. It's a husband and wife team, Carol Barry and Ian Kerrigan, and they create custom artisan treats. They're all handmade. They've been 50 years experience between the two of them when you add it all up, and you can check them out at lusocork.ie. And they sent us some beautiful boxes of deliciousness this morning, and they are really gorgeous, gorgeous treats. So we'll be giving away boxes of them on Monday for the Monday Munchies for your company, wherever you work, and I'll be encouraging you to get involved on Monday, and we'll be doing the shout outs. Raspberry cheesecake, Raspberry Bakewells, Belgian Chocolate Marquise, Triple Chocolate Brownies, The Rocky Road, The Sticky Toffee with the Salted Caramel Cream. What a great way to start Monday for you and your work colleagues. Crunchy Peanut Butter Slices, Chocolate Fudge, Coffee Bean Squares, and they sent them all out to me this morning, and people will be noshing on them on at Red FM. Lemon Drizzle, Coconut Macaroon. Do you remember those? They're very old-fashioned, aren't they? The Coconut Macaroon, and lots more besides. So that's on Monday for the Monday Munch. She's with Luso Cork on board from Ballincollig. Welcome aboard, guys. We'll have some fun. So let me just get to our fifth and final day, considering that it's Mother's Day on Sunday. So we have, I think we have, is it 3 or 5 bouquets of flowers to give away, courtesy of ourselves and Shandon Flowers. Thank you to Stacey, as always. But on top of that, the main prize of the week is the Cork International Hotel. So we got 2 prizes on this one. I love this short text, actually. I was laughing when I read it. It has to do with a mammyism. She says, my mother would sing us to sleep using the F word delicately inserted into lullabies like Three Blind Mice or Rock-a-bye Effin' Baby on the Treetop. It would get more frequent, the F word delicately inserted, as she got more frustrated trying to put us to sleep. She would then usually give up and tell us, turn into the wall and go to sleep. I can just imagine the frustration where the F word ends up being inserted into the lullaby. I love that. Keep them coming for the time that's left. But back to the phone lines we go. Tracy!
Hello, Neil. Good morning.
There's another one involving fake tan. I'll read that out in the moment. But to another body product, if you like. Tell us the story. Exactly. Tell us the story.
if anybody knows Nana Pat, she loves a bargain.
Who?
She loves, she's my mother, Patricia, but everyone calls her Nana Pat. Nana, my mum loves a bargain. So this, I think it was a Thursday night, we were all called in, and Dad was sitting at the table and he was rubbing a cream into his head.
Why was he doing anything with his head? What was wrong with his head?
Nothing. She just likes buying creams and bargains, and she loves the shine on his head.
Is he bald, then? Have you bald, Dad?
Dad is bald. No wonder he has no hair left.
So he's at the kitchen table and he's rubbing an amazing cream. Go on.
He is, and she said, "What's that, ma'am?" "Oh, I bought him that today in Boots." She said, "It was that they had it in a basket,
and it was a great bargain, so I got it for Dad. I actually think it was around Valentine's Day that it was actually a Valentine's Day present for him. So there he was, sitting there and rubbing the cream.
Doing what he's told, like.
Yeah, exactly. So my brother came in and he said, Dad, what are you doing? And Timothy, my brother, picked up the cream. It was strawberry flavoured lube.
Lube?
She was after buying. Yes, yes. For intimate situations.
It's the wrong.
There she had.
He's putting her on the wrong end of the body. What?
Like, he was, yes, he was. Oh my God.
Did anybody read the label on the tube of lube?
Yes, God, we were just, because she's the type, like, she'd just give him, if Mam told Dad tomorrow is Sunday, her word's law. So if she told him it was a great cream, it was very good for his skin and everything, he'd just, you know, her word is law. There she goes. So there he was putting strawberry flavour lube all over his head and face. And we all just sat there.
His face.
The five children just sat there looking at him. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, she didn't tell him that it would help make his hair grow back or anything. No, it just, she liked the shine on his head.
That's it. All she says about is him being bald is that she was a very passionate woman. It came out in junk.
Right, okay. How did he react that it was actually a lube for intimate sexual relations?
Talking about my mum and dad like this. Poor Timmy, my dad is the biggest blob ever. Oh my God. So he'd just sit there and he'd just laugh. Where is she going around the kitchen then? Oh my God, oh my God. So how was I supposed to know? His mum, you read it, like. You read it. But she's an awful woman, Neil, and I just, it's actually her birthday today. She's 73 today. So happy birthday, Patricia. But like, she goes around the place. She's like a born toddler at times. I know we're supposed to tell one story, but I just told the second one. I worked in the English market and we got notice that Camilla and Charles were coming in.
Who? It's not a great phone. I just move around a little bit there, Tracy. Problems this morning. You were working in the English market. You got notice of what?
Yeah. That Camilla and Charles would be visiting.
Yeah.
So I said it to Mam. Oh my goodness, she loves the Royals. She loves Diana. Loves Diana. So I said, Mam, bring him with me now, but promise me you'll do what you're told. I will. I promise. So we were standing in the stall and there was all secret service. Everyone was around. And I was talking to the woman across the way, Pauline, in the pig stall, as I call it, talking to Pauline. And I turned around, Neil, and she was gone. And I just went, oh my God, where was she? There she went straight for Camilla. They said, the security went to stop her. Oh, God. And Camilla said, "Let her. She's okay. She's okay." She got the royal handshake from Camilla. And she said to this, the no queen, you're not as plain as what I thought you would be.
You're
made out to be very plain on the telly. Camilla, oh, my God, Neil, I wanted to go through the floor.
How did she react? How did Camilla react?
He smiled at her, like, but my mum got the royal handshake. But, like, to say that this is now Queen of England.
Oh, my God, I have to tell you, that's kind of the same kind of thing that my mother would have done, God rest her soul. I don't know, is it a north side trade or what?
I don't know, as I said, she's like a bold toddler.
I'll tell you something. You'll get at least a bouquet of flowers from Shandon Flowers from your mam. At least that. So stay listening.
Neil, thanks.
I know, it's a great story and I love them. Keep them coming. Thanks, Tracy. Stay on hold for anyone. Just get to. Oh, actually, you're okay. We have a phone number. You're grand. Claire, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I've heard of Grand Theft Auto, the game that you can play, but this is real life Grand Theft Auto. What happened?
It is. I've got a Grand Theft Auto mammy. So, back in 1978, so Mam and Dad were sharing a blue Volkswagen Beetle and Dad was going to a night shift. So he left that Beetle parked up near the county hall. And my Mam and her sister anyway were, you know, they went into the car park to bring the car out home. And they found the car, turned the key, got in, drove off. And Mam was thinking when she was driving out the straight road, she was like, this car is very tidy looking, you know, and there's a new rug. And then she realized there was no radio. And then suddenly it kind of dawned on her that she had stolen a car. It was the wrong one. But the key had worked.
These are the questions I wanted to ask you. How did she get into it first? And how did it start with someone else's key?
The key, I don't know if they had the same keys for the same. It was a very similar reg. And so she basically stood there. And because she was like learning to drive, she couldn't turn it around easily. So they had to go off all the way out to Ballincollig.
What do you mean? She didn't know how to turn a car around.
Exactly. Because like normally she don't be able to just like drive straight home. But you know, she normally wouldn't.
So your ma'am could only drive in straight lines, is it?
Yes, exactly. So they managed to turn it around eventually anyway, probably some roundabout in Ballincollig, and brought it back and, you know, listening out for the sirens. So they managed to park it up anyway, and they found the right car and drove home, and no more was said about it.
Maybe in the 1970s, all cars of a particular model, the keys worked on everybody's car, maybe. I don't know. Maybe there was just one standard Beetle key.
Exactly, something like that. And she saw the same car around West Cork after. So if somebody in West Cork had a blue Volkswagen Beetle in 1978 and if they came back to that car park thinking, I didn't park the car like that in a dodgy way, it was probably my mother. So apologies on behalf of her family.
Oh my God. But she was good enough to confess to it, yeah?
Yeah. So, and then another time, she got a Mini then later on and she still couldn't turn the car or whatever. So a nice woman helped her turn the vehicle once so she could drive home. And then by the time she got home, she realized the lady's keys were still in her car on the seat next to her. So poor dad had to drive back all the way in. So she sent him back to give the lady back her keys.
How long did it take your mother to learn how to turn corners or drive in opposite directions?
I don't know. It's a great mystery of life.
She could only drive in straight lines.
Yeah, she did go on to get lessons though, and I must say she's a fantastic driver now. But back in 1979, which is the most concerning thing of all was that in 1979 she was one of the people they gave out the driving license to, so she got one. So and my dad ticked all the boxes. So she had like a bus license, a lorry license, she had the whole lot.
So when they had the amnesty for licenses, because they had such a backlog, they just gave out free license to everybody who had a learner permit. So your mother got a full driving license in 1979 and she could only drive in straight lines.
Yes.
God almighty.
And so she luckily, hopefully, telling you the story, she won't get arrested for her grand theft also. But she has learned to drive since, but we promise. And yeah, okay. No more.
All right. She can drive around roundabouts now and everything. She can reverse and everything.
She can, she's great. Yeah. And I just want to say, congratulations to Mum and Dad as well. They're celebrating their wedding, their 47th wedding anniversary.
Well, listen, happy anniversary. There's at least a bouquet of flowers in it for your mammy from Shandon Flowers. And you'd never know, we might even have an overnight week, an overnight at the Cork International. But stay listening for that. I want to get another couple of calls on air back after the break. Oh, just ahead of that, you know, we're talking about the lube on daddy's head, right? Long time ago, 25 years ago maybe, my mother and her two sisters were invited to a wedding. So they decided to gather the night before in my mother's house to prep themselves for the wedding. I got a phone call from them saying that they were having problems. Now, this is 25 years ago. They were having problems with the fake tan. It wasn't working, they said. So I called over and there were empty bottles of fake tan everywhere, Neil. Now, bear in mind, this was at a time when there was probably only one type of tan and it took 24 hours before the tan would show up on your skin. I couldn't contain myself and assured them that they would eventually have a tan. I went home, couldn't wait to see the results the next day. In I went the next day. The three of them inside there sat at the kitchen table, chain smoking. All you could see was the whites of their eyes. I was in hysterics and told them if for any reason the wedding band cancels, the three of them could fill in as the 3 degrees. Needless to say, they weren't impressed. I had handbags and stilettos thrown at me. I love it. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Okay, so Lisa standing by. First up, Trina. Trina, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are you?
A funny mam moment. You have the floor. It involves motor cars and car parks. Go for it.
It does. I got an awful frantic phone call from my mum. She was in a multi-story car park, came back to get the car. Car was gone. Car was after being stolen. She was waiting for the guards. First thing I said to this woman, she's away with the fairies. First thing I said to her was, mam, are you sure you're in the right spot? And she got very odd. Of course I am. I know where I parked my car. I parked it right next to the trolley so I could drive out. And she says, anyway, her friend was with her. She says, she's gone looking just in case, but I'm in the right spot. I'm waiting for the guards. She was waiting for the guards. The car was stolen. She rang the guards. She's waiting for the guards. So I says, okay, I'll come get you. And in my head, I'm like, who in the name of God robbed the... She can't start it at the best of times with the key. It's fiddly. And I was saying, ma'am, there's cameras all over the place. Who would steal a car? Oh, you don't know, but it's gone. It's not there. So I says, okay, look, I'll come get you. Stay where you are. Wait, I'm on my way down. I get a phone call on the car speaker, her and her friend. It's all right. The car's after being located. She was on the wrong floor. She was on the wrong level.
No. No, what she probably said is, somebody took my car and they moved it to a different level.
Oh, no, that's not what happened, but it still wasn't her fault.
That's what she said. No, she'd never admit to being her fault. No, it's actually somebody moved my car.
No, she got into the lift, and there was a woman in the lift, and they got chatting to this woman, and the woman was already after pressing what level this lady was going to when she got in. So it was that lady's fault. That lady pressed the wrong button for the wrong floor on the lift, and my mum got off thinking they were all on the same floor. So it was that lady's fault. It wasn't my mum's fault, no, Neil.
Well, did the guards arrive?
No, she rang them back and told them it was a mistake. She phoned the car, and to be fair, no, it was the guards in Watercourse Road. The guard that had taken the original call rang her back afterwards to make sure she was all right.
Oh, it happens all the time. I mean, that happens to all of us. It's not just a mammy moment. I mean, I'm often plagued by where I parked the car. So much so I go around with the fob, you know, and I'm flicking the fob thinking that I'll hear the beep somewhere.
We've all done it. But she was adamant. I know where I parked my car. It's not here. And I just was thinking, oh my, who would rot? And I was saying, are they thick in a multi-story car park? There's cameras everywhere. I should have known better. But no, Neil, this was not her fault. Woman in the lift.
It was the woman in the lift. You've mortified her a second time this morning. Stay listening, Trina. Lisa, good morning.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
We've had some great stories this week. What have you got to share regarding your mam? You were in and around Dawn Square of a summer's day. What happened?
Oh, just comical. My mother is just a scream. We were walking down Dawn Square, beautiful day, summertime. And a bee was, you know, around us. So me, of course, afraid of bees, was flailing, hands everywhere, giving ninja kicks and all the rest of it. And with that, my shoe flew off and almost in slow motion smacked my mother clean in the jaw.
Say that again, it sounds great. Say that again.
The shoe flew off after I ninja kicked the bee and smacked my mother right on the jaw. So she's like, almost in slow motion, the head goes back. She's stunned looking. She doesn't know what happened. I am on the floor in hysterics. I have asthma. I'm like, people are walking past me. Oh, is this girl okay? Does she need an ambulance? Can she breathe? And my poor mother is just standing with her hands on her jaw. She just looked at me, and without uttering a syllable, she turned on her heels and walked down Patrick Street. And with that, she turned. She was by Waterstones at this stage, and she just turned. I'm still laughing in Dawn Square. And she turned with this wounded look on her face. The sad puppy look on her face. And that just made me worse. I was hysterical.
You must be very nimble, you know what I mean? That you can kind of scissors kick that high that, oh, actually, I think the sandal left your foot and was a flying missile, was it?
That's exactly what it was. A flying missile cleared into Mercy's jaw. The look on her face, she just totally didn't expect it. It was almost in slow motion. It was constant.
Well, it certainly happened by the fact that you ended up hysterical laughing. You know, you think that you would come to her aid and be apologetic and panicked.
But no, you see, that's my thing. It's like a nervous thing where I laugh when bad things happen. I rounded the corner another day with my mother. We were over near the North Mall, and we rounded the corner, and there was a bit of a brick jutting out, and she fell over the brick, and there happened to be a man drinking a can of beer, rounding the other corner. She dragged him down to the ground as she fell. And again, I am just rolling around the ground laughing, you know, and the two of them are kneeling on their knees. Don't know what's going on. The poor man is like, he doesn't know what's happened. And the two of them are on their knees and I'm rolling around laughing again.
He's thinking to himself, it's not even safe to drink a can of beer on Patrick Street anymore. See, when you're hysterical laughing. All right, stay listening, Lisa. Stay listening. Samantha.
Hi, how are you?
I'd say this will have to be it, lads. So off you go, Samantha. This is a visit to Funderland. Was it your mammy?
It wasn't my mum and my dad. I was about 17 at the time. And she's afraid of heights. She's going over a bridge now. She'd be having a panic attack.
Not the best place for somebody who's got a fear of heights to be going to Funderland.
Usually she's gone nothing, not one thing. But she went down the takeoff first and she thought, oh, this wasn't too bad, you know, but that's
what's
not very
the takeoff?
High.
What's that? What does that do?
It kind of lifts up and tilts to the side and the seats go around.
Yeah, that's easy. So that's kid stuff.
It's not very high, but it's fast.
Yeah.
And she got brave. Then I said, I'm going to go on the vertigo. And my dad would go on if he'd go on anything. And she said she'd go on. So we were like, what? We were like, okay, like, you sure? Yeah, yeah. So she queued up for about 20 minutes, watched all the people screaming.
What does vertigo do? That's high, is it?
So it's the highest thing there, you know, it's a big straight thing and there's seats at the top and seats at the bottom and it goes around in a circle, but the faster you get, your seats start flipping forward and backwards, you're upside down, you're flying basically, it's really fast.
Right.
So she decided she'd go on it, she queued up, she went on and it moved and we went around, say, once it starts off, she was like, oh no, I have to get off. And I was like,
you can't get off,
mom. And she was like, hey, man, when we are passing, she's not going to pass. No, you have to stop the ride. And I was like, mom, people say that all day. They're not going to stop. Everything would never be going. So she's screaming anyway, like, oh, I'm going to die, blah, blah. Screaming and roaring. And it gets faster. And I just said to her, mom, I'm just going to prepare you now because it's starting to get faster.
This is going to get a hell of a lot worse.
Back and forward, upside down. And she was like, oh no, it can't happen. I was like, it's going to happen, so I just prepare you. So she does it anyway. She's screaming and eventually she just stops and I just thought she was just hanging on for dear life.
She's passed out.
And I'm calling her then and we were stopped at the top at the end and I'm like, mom, no response. And try to kick her legs at my feet because you can't lean forward to see. No response. And I was like, shouting back to my dad. I was like, I don't know, is she unconscious or is she just odd? And he was like, ah, she's probably odd. I was like, you know, I'm kicking her and everything. She won't respond to me. So anyway, we're coming back down, you know, coming back down slow because people got off on the end. I said, see a man that was working there. Is she awake? He's like, no. All cold, unconscious. So I get out and she wouldn't leave. I was holding on so tight to the thing that comes down over you to hold you in. That were like peeling back her fingers and trying to rip them off because she was on cold, but she wouldn't let go. And we were like slapping her in the face, like, wake up, mama. I was like, mom, what's happening? We were falling around the place laughing at me and my dad couldn't be consoled. And they were like, oh, you have to wait now for St. John. She's like, I'm waiting for no St. John. There's nobody looking at me. I'm fine. And we were falling around. I thought we were going to die inside there. I was like, hurry, you have to move now in case they show them who I am and they'll be following me.
She was mortified. I love it. You have a great way of telling the story, I can tell you that. It was her first and last time in Funderland, I'd say.
Oh, she went after that, but she wouldn't dare go on the thing never again.
Not the vertigo. Okay, well, happy Mother's Day to her and all of the mammies. Stay listening for now anyway, Samantha. We're going to pick some winners. But after the break, playing us out live in studio, Mark Daly. Mark from Crookston, just back with his band, Mark Daly and the Ravens, from a fantastic US tour. He's going to play us out live.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
All righty, in studio, Mark Daly from Mark Daly and the Ravens, just back from Ohio, Pittsburgh, Maine, New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire, and also toured Europe and writing his own material as well as doing some serious kick-ass covers. We'll chat in a minute, but he's got a new single out. It's called I Wanna Be More. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fight everything that comes my way. Look at me, you will see a force of power and frustration. This time I'll be who I'm meant to be. The world has got to know that I wanna be more. I wanna be more. I wanna tear this world apart. Live every beat
that's in my heart. Be free without disease. Find out where my soul's been hiding. Who will I be? 'Cause I wanna see the world in all its glory. I wanna be more. I wanna be more. All my life, I'm looking for a miracle to bring this heart to life. Oh, I try.
That packs a punch, and that's a one man band punch. I can imagine what the band is like.
Much better with the band.
No, I'm just saying much bigger even. That's big as it is. So are you home for a rest now after the tour, or are you doing Cork gigs or Irish gigs or what?
Just get back writing a new record now, so it's really nice to be home after the last kind of 12 months. It's been, I think, 6 trips to the US. So
wow
it's been great though.
It must be amazing.
I love it out there. Kind of the rock scene is live and kicking out there.
Yeah, so you're doing a lot of, I mean, you're writing your own material, but you're covering Floyd and you're covering Zeppelin and stuff.
Yeah,
they'll be
the big influences for us, and ELO and those classic rock bands, Aerosmith, love all that kind of stuff.
I'd love to know when you're playing somewhere local, because people would love to go hear you play.
We usually do play one or two shows a year, like we do Dublin, Cork, Belfast, kind of once or twice a year. So.
Yeah, and if it was in Cork, where would it be usually?
I suppose we could be Crane Lane, Cypress Avenue, like those kind of places.
Fantastic, man, it sounds fantastic. I wish you had more time. Don't be a stranger. All your stuff is up on markdailyofficial.com.
That's right.
Including an upcoming album. If there's a single coming out, there's an album coming out, right?
That's the first single. And then every month we're going to have a new single off that album. And then the album comes out in the summer.
Oh, brilliant. You going to do vinyl?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it's going to be the first time having a vinyl.
Put me down for one, will you?
Absolutely, I'll drop one.
Heavyweight vinyl. You got to love it. Mark, thanks for popping in. Have a great weekend. Continue success. That's Mark Daly. Going to love you and leave you, lads, for the day of the tenor. On Monday, Tara won a fabulous Cork International Hotel overnight for her mother. You remember Fionnuala the Farter inside in the Dáil office. Catherine, it was the story of her son who got a fright in the doctor's office about the frog biting off his willy. I know, it's a strange program at the best of times. We did nothing on Wednesday because we got completely bogged down, but we really made up for it on Thursday with Nicola, whose mother recorded her drunk coming back in home. The strange thing, Samantha, who told the great story of her mam with vertigo going down to Fundaland and the consequences of going on very tall and very fast-moving rides. So congratulations to all of you, courtesy of yourselves in the Cork International Hotel. I never mentioned that I got 2 platinum hydrafacials worth €190 each from Shirley's Beauty and Laser. So Tracy's dad, who ended up being doused in strawberry lube. If somebody just switched this program on in the last 3 minutes, they'd have a really weird opinion. So we've got a hydrofacial for your dad, Tracy, because he loves skin from above the neck. So that'll get him sorted. And we have loads of thank you so much to Stacey and the gang at Shandon Flowers. Is that Janelle Daly, whose mom Eileen took a fall running to the bus and is currently unwell in the Mercy? So that was a text I read out earlier on. Karen, whose mom confronted the peeping Tom in the charity shop earlier in the week. This is a wild program. Nikki, whose mother Christine turned the labour ward upside down, asking to have her temperature checked. She was displaying more issues than her daughter was going through the pangs of labour. We'll open the phone lines for some other of them. So if you'd like a bouquet of flowers for your mam, now all of these have to be collected at Shandon Flowers on Shandon Street. So thank you to them, and also to the Cork International Hotel for the great prizes during the week. Happy Mother's Day. Our lines are open for some bouquets of flowers to give away now. So pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. My apologies. From Monday morning, we will be doing Monday Munchies with Luso from Ballincollig. I thought I might have inadvertently said that they're recently opened, but they've only been in business for 15 years. The last 10 years in Ballincollig, so I'm happy to correct that. Have yourselves a good weekend. I'll see you Monday. Today, of course, is an interesting day because it is referendum day. I wonder, I suppose we'll know all about it on Monday and we can chat some more about that then. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.
When Cork talks,
Cork people blow my mind.
They talk to Neil Prendeville
on Red FM.